ABC's Paul James.
The report by Save the Children looked at 40 conflict zones around the world. It says while men do most of the fighting, women and children are often traumatized, injured, exploited, and displaced, and that not enough is being done to protect them. The report notes that children are often separated from their parents and that boys are often forced into combat. Among the worst areas, Afghanistan, Angola, Burundi, Sierra Leone, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Paul James, ABC News.
Smoking banned in all indoor workplaces in Boston, and it could spread to the rest of the state. Legislators will hold a public hearing on the matter. This is ABC News.
News Radio 590 KLBJ. Good morning. It's 1:04. I'm Greg Narag, and topping Austin's news at this hour, Governor Perry is siding with House leaders in dealing with Robin Hood. KLBJ's Ricky Reyes reports.
The governor addressed the showdown between the House and Senate involving how and when to change school finance. Governor Perry questioned a plan in the Senate that was introduced by Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst. He says it will take more time to come up with a comprehensive plan that would replace the current one known as Robin Hood. Ricky Reyes, News Radio 590, KLBJ.
Round Rock traffic investigators are trying to piece together the cause of a fatal motorcycle accident from Sunday. It happened on Dell Way. Police say alcohol wasn't involved, and there were no other vehicles involved nor any witnesses. 58-year-old Thomas Vic Livingston Jr. of Round Rock was killed in that crash. Well, you thought the campaign would be over on Saturday? Think again.
Many suburban council races went into runoffs when third candidates kept anyone from getting a majority of the vote. Pflugerville will essentially hold its council election again, minus one person in each of the two races. Runoffs will also be scheduled in Cedar Park, Georgetown, and the Hutto ISD. Bill McLean, News Radio 590, KLBJ.
Now a check on the KLBJ Radar Weather Watch. Staff meteorologist Bill Limmer.
Low overcast settling on in the early morning hours, feeling a lot more like June or July than a morning in early May. We may not go below 70 in many locations. Low cloud lingers for a few hours, then enough sunshine to take us well up into the 80s to around 90 degrees. Pretty warm, so we'll have to monitor for at least an isolated afternoon thundershower. And again Wednesday, we should be near 90. Isolated afternoon storm, more organized activity if it forms, should be well off to the north. I'm Bill Limmer, News Radio 590, KLBJ.
Right now, we've got mostly cloudy skies at the airport, 77 degrees. I'm Greg Narag, live local news every half hour, 24 hours a day on Austin's News Leader, News Radio 590 KLBJ.
Coast AM with George Norrie.
Archaeologists in Iraq believe that they may have found the lost tomb of King Gilgamesh, the subject of the oldest book in history, the Epic of Gilgamesh, written by a Middle Eastern scholar 2,500 years before the birth of Christ, commemorated the life of the ruler of the city of Uruk, from which Iraq gets its name. And now a German-led expedition has discovered what is thought to be the entire city of Uruk, including where the Euphrates once flowed, the last resting place of its very famous king. That's just one of the many things we're going to talk about with investigative mythologist William Henry. So don't touch your dial. This is Coast to Coast AM. How would you like to double your investment returns? That's true, with world tensions, rising oil prices, stock market uncertainty. And boy, what uncertainty. People are turning to gold to protect and grow their savings and retirement accounts. Now, what they're doing is they're diversifying. They're taking a little bit of money and putting it into precious metals. Gold, for example. Reports are everywhere. Gold funds outperformed all of them in 2001. Great return last year. And gold is hanging on again this year. Gold is there for the long term. This is not a short-term investment. You don't pop in and pop out with gold. Now, Lear Financial, which handles some gold investments for me, would like you to take advantage of a free gold investor's kit. Call this number, 1-800-474-4259. Mention Coast to Coast, and they'll get it right out to you. This free kit includes an audio tape seminar, brochures, it's almost like books, $29 value. It's absolutely free for you. Study it. Learn about gold investing, and then if you're ready, when you're ready, call Lear Financial back. They'll take care of you. 1-800-474-4259. Take advantage of this free gold investors kit. Oh, yes, almost forgot. Mention Coast to Coast, and they'll get it out to you for free. 1-800-474-4259. Super Prostate Formula. It's for you guys or gals. If you want to buy it for the person you care about to save them a potential problem, go ahead and do that as well. More than 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, even a diminished sex drive, Super Prostate Formula is for you. Designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Teplisky, Super Prostate Formula combines the nutrients that support the healthier prostate so that you can reclaim control. And by joining the legions of listeners who have had incredible results, because let me tell you, it really does work, you get two bottles of Dr. Teplisky's Super Prostate Formula. They'll give you two more of his Super Libido Formula. That's a natural alternative to Viagra. So you'll also get a groundbreaking book, The Complete Guide to Prostate Health, a newsletter, all of that, $100 value, free as a gift. And it's guaranteed to work, or you get your money back. So if you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund. Keep the two bottles of the Super Libido, the book, and the newsletter free. Keep it all. Not available in stores. 1-800-603-7277. 1-800-603-7277. That's 1-800-603-7277. William Henry is an investigative mythologist. He's an adventurer, author of many books, and he's one of those Indiana types who is willing to take the risks and endure the discomforts in order to penetrate the veils of secrecy which shroud our real identity and keep us from discovering the overwhelming and sometimes empowering knowledge of who we really are. Who are we, anyway? He dares to speak publicly about the true history and origins of the human species. No piece of fiction could rival the incredible story of our very own beginnings and the sheer drama of our interaction with the gods of mythology and the larger-than-life getaway stories of biblical reference. He is always excited about his discoveries about the gods, their gates, and always eager to share his insights with us on Coast to Coast, rapidly becoming one of the most popular guests on Coast to Coast. It's William Henry. Hello, William. How are you?
Great, George. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Getting ready for your trip to France?
I am more than ready. It's going to be a trip of a lifetime. As you know, we're going over to meet Lawrence Gardner in Paris. We're going to take the cathedral tours in search of the secrets of the blue stones of immortality, something that Gilgamesh himself might even have sought.
That's exciting. That's exciting. I mean, do you go dressed up like Indiana Jones when you take these trips?
No. No, you
don't have the big hat and all that?
I don't have the big hat. No, I wear a beret, and that kind of throws people. So.
Well, you know, just last week they talked about this lost tomb of Gilgamesh. And have they been able yet to decide that this possibly is indeed that tomb?
Not yet. They're still saying that they definitely believe they have found the city of Uruk. They've been looking. They have been on the spot for over a year. And now they've come up with a spot that they believe is the actual tomb of Gilgamesh, which is absolutely profound in its implications, because here's a guy, a semi-divine king. He, according to the story, Gilgamesh, the king of Uruk, is two-thirds god and one-third man. But the problem was is that, like Alexander the Great, he knew that he was mortal.
Mm.
And he took off on this quest for the secrets of immortality and looking for the mouth of the rivers and the celestial abode of the gods where the secret of immortality was believed to be housed or contained.
You know, they have probably, not only have they found the tomb, which may or may not be his, but let's assume for a moment it might be.
Right.
But they may have also found this entire city.
Right.
And that's what's so exciting.
This is what has driven me the past few years to really try and uncover the answer to the question of what was Saddam Hussein really up to in Iraq and what is really going on in Iraq even today. It's as if at this moment in history, perhaps by some sort of divine destiny, some sort of a cosmic timing, perhaps even tied in with what's going to be happening in 2012, according to the Mayans, These secrets are coming up out of the ground, and they're coming up out of the ground with an irresistible and irrepressible force. And it's demanding that each and every one of us look at our past. Because in looking to our past in this way, it's going to help us chart or navigate our future.
Well, you know what I found very strange about the situation in Iraq, Liam? It's over and above, of course, the swiftness of how we were able to get in there and do what we did, was the fact that the Iraqi museum got literally looted. And all those wonderful artifacts that you and others have been talking about for oh so many years all got taken away.
Well, you know, the story changes on that, George. Just initially when that happened, I was heartbroken. I felt like a piece of my soul
was
had
gone,
been
huh?
ripped out of my heart and just scattered into the wind. And I was just completely disheartened by what happened. But then my spirit was revived the very next day. The announcement came on Sunday about the looting, and on Monday, talk radio all over the world had people just demanding that something be done to rectify that situation. And I realized then that no matter where you live in the world, no matter what your political or religious persuasion is, there is a core inside of each of us that knows that that was a travesty. That was a total disaster of proportions of perhaps the burning of the Library of Alexandria.
Yes, same kind of thing.
Same kind of thing. But you know what? I'm looking at a paper here with a dateline, Baghdad, Iraq, and it's saying that, and this was in my local paper, the Nashville, the Tennessean, saying that there's not 170,000 pieces that are missing. They've narrowed it down, and now they're saying there's only 25 pieces that are missing.
Well, that's good news in a tragic situation.
Right, but the question is, how could they have been so wrong in their initial reports?
Well, they always are.
Right, so that's the good news in this situation, that while at first it looked like it was a total wipe down of that museum, it now appears that maybe the damage isn't as severe as we had initially thought.
Hey, William, let me ask you, while you brought up Tennessee, everybody in your region okay because of the weather and tornadoes that swept through there?
Oh, it's been something. I've lived in Tennessee for 20 years, and I've seen tornadoes and storms come and go, but this one was just right up there at the top of the list.
Oh, my. It's something. You're okay? Your family's all right?
Yeah, fine. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And pray for the families who lost their loved ones. I mean, what a tragedy.
38 people already, and they're still looking for 10 more, maybe more. Maybe more. Your travels. I mean, there's so much I want to tell you, and I've got to talk with you tonight about Planet X as well. And I want to get your views on it, too, because you do support what Zechariah Sitchin, I believe, in some respects, has written about over the years. But let's talk a little bit, if we can, about some of these other hidden mysteries. I mean, you have, since we first started talking about Stargates, to the point where you educated me, to the point where I had to run to pick up more of your books to say, okay, now I understand what Mr. Henry is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about the Stargate, because there's, you know, we have more and more people joining Coast to Coast now than ever before. And they might not have heard you the last time you were on, and they may definitely not know what a Stargate is. Tell me about that.
The keystone for any presentation or talk or conversation I have about Stargates always begins with the two movies, Contact and Stargate.
Favorites.
Yeah.
Favorites.
Absolute favorites, especially Contact, written by Dr. Carl Sagan, a man who knew what he was talking about, who had a desire to write a piece of fiction about first contact with an extraterrestrial species. The problem that science confronts when they ponder this question is the improbable distances between Earth and the nearest inhabitable planet.
True.
That these alleged species could hail from. They say it's simply impossible for them to travel these vast distances, therefore there isn't a possibility that we've had first contact in the past. So Sagan is saying, I've got to come up with a way to get around this. So what he did is he contacted his friend Dr. Kip Thorne down at Caltech in California and said, look, here's my conundrum. I need some assistance here. Can you help me come up with a scientifically valid way that I could get extraterrestrial species A to planet Earth? And they came back to him and said, here's what we've got right here. Solid physics says there can be such thing as a stargate or a wormhole, a hole in space through which this species could travel as if there's nothing in between. It would cut out the enormous amount of time it would take for the travel to take place. It would also enable them to outlive the duration of the travel experience. And what Kip Thorne did is he put together a list of the basic Stargate theory, and this was applied in the movie Contact. And so when we're watching that movie Contact unfold, where Jodie Foster receives this message from Vega, the message contains a device that looks very much like something that I've been researching from ancient Egypt and ancient Sumeria, this device is real. This is real physics, and this time travel is another way to think of it. When Jodie Foster is dropped down into this hole in space and travels to the center of the Milky Way galaxy, that is theoretically possible. We can do this now, physicists tell us, if we decide to commit all of the resources of our wonderful planet towards the creation of these stargates and wormholes.
I think one day when science catches up to this, William, they're going to find that that's exactly the way we're going to be able to travel throughout the universe.
I think so, too. And what I've done, George, is I look back at myth and scripture that is just loaded with references to gods and mortals coming and going through gateways, and I've got pictures of it up on my website at williamhenry.net. I've got an article called The Bearded Gods and Wormholes, and you can see examples of some of these gateways in that article that I've posted. In particular, one at the very bottom of the page actually shows Gilgamesh going through the gate of the gods.
That's right. You got a great website, by the way.
Well, thank you very much.
You're super, John. Who's your webmaster?
It's Revised Code, publicatlarge.com. Yeah.
Good. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I thought we had a good one. Yours is a pretty darn good
team. Oh, Lex, you guys are great. I love going to the coast. That's the first thing I do every morning. I get my coffee and go see what happened last night on coast if I wasn't listening.
I thought I worked long hours. This Lone Heart guy, Lone Hood, Lone Heart, that's almost like Braveheart. Mm-hmm. He is up all the time. All the time. He may be a lone heart. He works so much.
Mm-hmm.
And just a very knowledgeable person.
Right.
When it comes to computers and everything else. Back to Gilgamesh for a second.
Back to Gilgamesh, yeah. So this depiction, and again, it's at the bottom of this article, shows Gilgamesh going through the gate of the gods. And what you notice when you look at it is that Gilgamesh, there's two figures that are holding ringing posts. Now, these posts are probably literally ringing. They're probably emitting a key tone frequency or vibration that actually opens the stargates or the wormholes. And you see some wavy lines that are within the gate itself. Well, those wavy lines are representative of the living waters, the cosmic waters of which all of creation is supposed to be made of. And when you put this together with the living waters and the gate, you come up with a concept very similar to what was portrayed in the movie Stargate, where in contrast to the movie Contact, when Jodie Foster sat on a throne and was dropped down into the hole and kind of flushed through this cosmic transportation system to the center of the galaxy, in the movie Stargate, they walked through a water gate. Or a water door.
That's right. They just, there was like five or six of them, and they just walked right through.
Right. And so when Gilgamesh is walking through the gate of the living waters, I'm asking the question, is it possible that the gateway experience as portrayed in Stargate is it one scientifically feasible, just like the gateway is in the movie Contact? And if so, do the ancients... did they share a similar experience? And if so, I mean, if you can go along with that, then ask the question, is it possible that the ancients, their stories of Stargate and wormhole experiences, or gateway experiences, let's call them, have anything to offer us moderns? In other words, did they leave behind any tidbits of information, any clues, any suggestions for Stargates or slash wormhole travel?
And you have to find them, don't you?
Yes.
How do you find them? I mean, how do you even start?
Well, you start with the stories themselves. For example, there's one of my favorite stories involves the goddess Mary, or Mari. She lived in Syria in 2300 B.C. In 1935, French archaeologists recovered a life-size statue of this goddess, and she's wearing her coat, a helmet, and other garments. Now, this helmet that she's wearing is quite fascinating because it's called the Shagura helmet. Now, Zechariah Sitchin says that literally translated, Shagura means that which makes go far into the universe.
Ah.
And my question is, what kind of a helmet can you put on that makes you go far
right.
into the universe?
It's not an everyday hat she's wearing to go out with, that's
no,
for sure.
It's not. You may be able to buy this at Saks Fifth Avenue, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
You'll probably be able to buy it at Circuit City within the next 25 to 50 years, though.
Or Sharper Image.
Or Sharper Image. The way our technology is moving, we are bringing this stuff online, and you will see it. So what I do is I look at these stories and say, okay, she's put on a special set of garments, but even more than that, she undertook a profound mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical transformation preparatory towards traveling far into the universe.
Almost, William, like a virtual reality type piece of equipment that she might have also had on.
Incredibly close. I mean, to where she can do what the alchemists were reported to be able to do, create a zone or a tone of frequency about their body that enable them to have the power of instant manifestation of wishes.
Gosh.
This is part of the training that is undergone here. I mean, we talk about remote viewing a lot, and that's one of the eight great ancient powers that these god beings possessed. Invisibility is another. Levitation is another. The ability to instantly materialize wishes, to remote view. These are all well-documented abilities that were taught to the masters of the past, including the Buddha, including Jesus, and other figures.
Well, you know what's funny is because for years I used to think, how could the ancients do these things without the kind of technology we have today? I have a feeling when you bring things back down to their most simplest form, you don't need a lot of high technology to do what they did. I mean, it's done probably with the power of their minds.
Well, you hit it right there on the head, no pun intended. All of these mysteries are about the human body, which could be the single most powerful technology on planet Earth. When we learn to fully unleash the power of our mind, our spirit, our soul, in this body of flesh that we inhabit, we are talking about a tremendous spiritual and supernatural power that's embedded within each and every one of us.
So as you start your quest at the common denominator, looking for clues that they may have left behind, do you find some things that are just startling to you, or does it frustrate you? Do you not find what you're looking for?
Well, what I find is startling and frustrating is also tragic at the same time. It's the way those that have espoused these teachings or claim to possess these teachings have routinely been exterminated throughout history. While there is a force on our planet that would like to see humanity reach up to the level of the gods and perhaps even to excel the abilities of the gods, there is another force that seeks to keep us at the level of, you know, perhaps just say slaves and sex objects.
Tell me a little bit more about that. I mean, how did they get why did they get exterminated?
Well, let's take the example of the Cathars of southern France. When
okay.
we go to France, we're going to be visiting the Cathar country of Rennes-le-Château and also Montségur. These were a group of people that called themselves good Christians. They claimed that they possessed a secret mystical teachings of Jesus, something called the Book of Love. And with this Book of Love, they had the ability to eradicate all jealousy, all hatred, all fear, and in so doing transform themselves into what we might think of as a Christ-like being. Well, the Dark Age Church at that time decided that it didn't like this competing Cathar religion. And as a consequence, from the year 1200 to the year 1244, they sent over 30,000 stormtroopers into southern France and exterminated every single man, woman, child, Cathar they could get their hands on. Their teaching went sub rosa. It went into the Cathars were paper manufacturers, and they began embedding the secret symbols of their religion, which they said derived directly from Jesus himself and was a symbolic and oral teaching. They began embedding this in paper and communicating it that way. And the reason that people like this are persecuted is because, to put it frankly, you can't have a planet full of Christ-like beings running around. They don't pay taxes, and they don't submit to control and authority.
Well, and they have too many people following them.
Right.
And they don't like that either. Stay with us. William Henry, my guest. We're going to continue this dialogue right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Weekday morning from 9 till noon. Following the morning show with Mark and Ed on News Radio 590 KLDJ.
News Radio 590 KLDJ. It's 1:30. I'm Greg Narag and topping Austin's news. Travis County commissioners get an update today on an odor study at some northeast Travis County landfills. A group of residents, businesses, and others have been selected for the first phase of the study. John Cool with the county's Natural Resources Department says they'll begin meeting once they hire a consultant for the study.
We really look to the consultant to sort of head up that that public process, so it would probably be within a week or 10 days of that award of that contract.
Cool says they hope to have the consultant hired within the next 2 weeks. People sensitive to smoke are advised to listen for health alerts and to stay indoors if the smoke levels from Mexican agricultural burning blows this way. It's a regular spring event and should be over by the end of May. Here's the KLBJ Radar Weather Watch. Today, mostly cloudy and a chance of thunderstorms. A high of 90. Right now, 77 degrees and cloudy skies. I'm Greg Narag. When news breaks, we break in on Austin's news leader, News Radio 590 KLBJ.
If you love working outdoors or decorating your home, you'll love the most beautiful landscaping and garden center in Central Texas, Flowerscapes Home and Garden Center in Liberty Hill. Come in today and see our huge new facility featuring everything the gardener needs, including Gardenville weed-free compost and mulch, Ladybug organic soils and fertilizers, gorgeous trees, flowers, and shrubs, plus a large selection of ladybugs, worms, and nematodes. We have extremely deep selections of Jackson and Perkins, David Austin, and antique roses, as well as books, hanging baskets, and wild bird supplies, and a sensational gift shop featuring genuine Texas works of art and water fountains. Visit Flowerscapes in Liberty Hill, and you'll come back again and again. Come to Flowerscapes today and ask for your free gift just for visiting our new location. We're here every day from 8 to 6, and it's a beautiful drive. From I-35 or 183, take 29 West to Liberty Hill and turn right at the first stoplight at 1869. Call Flowerscapes today at 515-5549. That's 515-5549. Or visit online at flowerscapes.info. Flowerscapes, the most beautiful landscaping and garden center in Central Texas.
And now to Chopper John with breaking news.
Steve, traffic is built up around virtually every convenience store in town as crowds simultaneously gather all across the city. Let's go now to Elena Newland, who's standing by with a live report.
I'm right in the middle of a large group of people who've convened in the parking lot of the corner convenience store. This crowd is well-mannered and peaceful, but you can sense the excitement. Excuse me, sir.
Yeah?
Tell me, why are you here today?
Well, I want to win.
Win what?
The money?
Well, bring his medical costs, even though he'd been a great employee for years. Dale was able to walk with his wife and run with his kids yesterday because something happened. That something was Scott Ogle, attorney at law. He saw to it that Dale received his medical care, and today his legs and his life are complete again. Scott Ogle, 442-8833, 442-8833.
Minor repairs to major renovations. Get advice on it all from House Calls. Sunday mornings at 11 on KLBJ. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Once you get up to William Henry's website, you can't find it. Very easy. It's on coasttocoastam.com's website. Already linked up. Take a look at some of the things he has done, the many, many books he has written. Pay close attention to the artwork, by the way, on some of his books. You'll find them to be very, very pretty artwork tied right into his topics. We'll have more in a moment on Coast to Coast. Here's a very interesting fact for you. The average American adult listens to more than 1,000 hours of radio a year. Think of it now. That's just the average. And many of you listen to 2,000 or 3,000 hours of radio each year. That's good, because radio is fun. Radio listeners are smarter, better informed. Which brings me to this question. Are you happy with your radio? Well, the people who own a CC radio are very happy. Why? Well, they get great AM reception. They get clear sound, quality construction, backed by a company that knows the pleasure that you receive from listening to the radio. Now, the CC radio is priced at $159.95. That might seem like a lot of money to some of you, but if you're going to spend thousands of hours listening to the radio, why don't you own the best and enjoy it yourself? Now, here's some news that you need to know. The price of the CC radio is going to go up, so this is your last chance to get the CC radio at $159.95. I don't know how high it will go, but you better take advantage of this. $159.95, and that price includes free U.S. ground shipping. Call the Sea Crane Company tomorrow at 1-800-522-8863. The number again for the CC radio, or that free Sea Crane catalog, 800-522-8863, or go to the web at ccradio.com.
If you're single and you've been going around in circles looking for the right person to love, then I've got a life-changing idea for you. Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Our team of PhDs has developed a proven way to match singles that consistently results in relationship success. That's why eHarmony.com is so different. It really works. We're receiving hundreds of marriage announcements, and these eHarmony marriages are significantly happier. If you're really serious about finding the person of your dreams, visit eHarmony.com. We'll take care of the incredibly complex task of compatibility so you can enjoy the fun of finding the chemistry. I want to encourage you to try eHarmony today. We'll give you an eye-opening personality profile absolutely free. This $40 value will get you started on the most important search of your life. Find real compatibility at eHarmony.com.
Welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with William Henry. Gosh, you know, I looked up at the clock and I'm saying, William, that there's so much I want to cover with you tonight, and this clock is going by faster and faster. It's almost like I'm in my own Stargate sometimes.
Right, yeah. I love these stories about, like, Joe Montana. He used to say that when he was in the middle of a big game and there was a, you know, big play, that he had the ability to slow time down.
Yes.
That he could watch the spiral of the football, and it gave him that extra advantage. And I was like, how do you do that? Ted Williams supposedly had the same ability.
Yep, Gordie Howe, too, with a hockey puck. Same thing.
Oh, I didn't know that about Gordie Howe. Wow.
And I bet Mickey Mantle could have done it with a baseball pitch.
I'm pretty sure. Mickey Mantle is one of my favorites.
And William Henry probably does the same thing when he's on an expedition.
Well, that and, the closest I've ever come to it, and this isn't to toot my own horn, but, you know, when you get stories and you just lock onto it, you do lose track of time and space. It is like venturing into another world, an alternate reality, if you will, and that's just really cool to me.
How many years have you been doing this now?
Well, I started researching when I was in college, so that was 22 years ago, and I've been writing professionally and lecturing. My first real professional lecture was the Sitchin Study Days in Denver in 1996. They gathered Dr. John Lilly and some other folks, Zachariah and others, for a major Zachariah Sitchin conference in Denver, and I was invited to participate in that.
Let's spend a little time talking about Planet X, William.
Sure.
I had Nancy Leader on a few weeks ago, and she has pushed her date back, her May 15th date. She's pushed it back now to June 1st.
Oh.
As you know, Michael Heiser was on the program. Michael does a good job. Michael does not believe in Planet X.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely doesn't believe that's coming around on May 15th, at least.
Right. I don't either, and I'm glad you brought up Mike Heiser, because as you recall, the last time he was on Coast, he challenged Zachariah Sitchin to a debate about Planet X and Nibiru.
And as you know, Zachariah cannot stay up late anymore. Because I've asked him several times to come on the show,
mm-hmm.
and it is just not going to happen. So let's get your take on your views on Planet X. So you don't believe that it's going to roll in here in the next few weeks?
No, I do not. And in fact, when this business first started last year, maybe a year and a half ago, let's call it 14, 15 months ago, I got an email out of the blue from someone that said, oh, Planet X is coming in May. Go ahead, run up your charge cards because you won't have to pay them. And I put my foot down and got to work, and I wrote a book called Ark of the Christos,
uh-huh.
Mythology, Symbolism, and Prophecy of the Return of Planet X in the Age of Terror. As in response to that, because my concern was, here's another Heaven's Gate. Here's a group of people that are misreading and miscalculating here and just taking people down a path that could ultimately lead to their personal destruction.
Sure. Panic, too, maybe?
Yeah. And it's like, stop this, okay?
Well, I had a story on today. Japanese people.
I heard it.
They're convinced that May 15th, that's it. It's turkey time. Close out the lights and it's all done.
Right. I also had a book that I wrote a while back about different cults, including the Japanese cult that believe many of these apocalyptic things, and this is the basis for it. And it extends into politics, too, and this is the basis of some of my other works and research. As I'm concerned about when people allow their religious and other beliefs to influence politics, and also where they start persuading people that such and such and so is true, and ultimately it leads them into their demise, it, you know, just really flips me out.
You have, and I can tell in your voice, a passion for what you do.
Oh, I do, yeah. I mean, it's not just a job. It's my life. It's who I am. And I take it very seriously. I totally enjoy what I do, just like I can tell you do, too.
Yes.
And it's just what I love to do. I would be doing this even if I wasn't doing this for a living.
Okay, but if Planet X is not going to come around on the 15th, and I subscribe to your thoughts, and Heiser's, in that it's not going to come around on the 15th, and we would have seen it by now.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some strange things going on, William. I mean, look at the weather. Look at the tornadoes. Look at Virginia today had an earthquake. My God. And yes, they've had them before, but, you know, the big one they had was in 1875. It just seems to be a very cyclical, strange time right now.
Right. I'm convinced, of course, that, and we've talked about this before, I've written many articles about it, that our activity in Iraq was a full-scale perimeter lockdown of that area. And it's directly related to the ancient past in Iraq, which includes the mythology and symbolism of what we know of as Planet X and of the beings that resided there called Anunnaki.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced that buried 20 feet beneath the sands of Baghdad and all of Iraq are the Stargate secrets of the Anunnaki. And that is why we had to wipe down that country and seize control of it, which is what we've done. And now we're going about educating people about ancient Iraq. We're talking about the museum. We're talking about its glorious ancient past and that the key to Iraq's future is in its past. And all of these, I feel, are a part of psychological warfare.
Well, you know, if you believe in the Illuminati,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that they have their own agenda, then some of the theories that you're throwing out right now seem pretty darn possible.
Right.
You know, I happen to believe that there were other reasons as well.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted him out. Definitely, they wanted to. You know, this guy was paying terrorists to blow themselves up. For example, in there, I mean, there's no doubt about that. He was a butcher; he had to go.
Right.
In so doing, you also get control of your oil fields,
right.
Which in the long run is going to help every American here. But also, there is that underlining tone of what's really in that country, and if you believe in those Sumerian texts, then you've got to say to yourselves, there are some hidden secrets here somewhere. Now,
Right. You
talk about them being deep in the sands. I mean, up until a few weeks ago, then they find this tomb of Gilgamesh buried deep under the sands. And then you go, my gosh, what else is down there?
Exactly. I mean, what we're looking at here, a little bit of backstory here. This isn't new. Our invasion of Iraq is nothing new. Britain and America went into Iraq in the 1840s and 1850s. British and American scholars, people from the University of Pennsylvania, from Yale, Johns Hopkins, University of Chicago, from the 1840s to the early 1900s, some of them backed by John D. Rockefeller, went into Iraq in pursuit of the proof that the Bible was true. And they were over there looking in the Iraqi temples to prove the Bible was there, and they came back with evidence that seemed to link these temples with Ezekiel. They found the city of Nineveh. They found other evidence that suggests that the Bible is actually true. At the same time, you had German doctors, scholars, who were in the very same sands and the very same temples, who were there to prove that not that the Bible was true, but that the German folk tales of Atlantis were true. And so you had this convergence on this country to dig up the relics, to dig up the artifacts, and it caused sensations worldwide when these artifacts started showing up in England and Germany and in New York. And so what we're seeing here...
And they're still there, aren't they?
Yes, they are still there.
Yeah.
And in fact, I heard the other day that there's as many as 25,000 undeciphered Sumerian tablets, cuneiform tablets, still crated up in the basement of the British Museum.
Oh, my.
Now, what might conceivably be in those tablets?
Do you think that those artifacts should be given back to the country of origin?
I absolutely think that tomorrow they need to start calling FedEx and start loading up planes and shipping that stuff back, because they looted those temples and they've taken that legacy. Now, they helped preserve it. They brought some educational awareness. But as we know, you know, academia isn't always, shall we say, forthcoming.
No, that's true.
They're going to find something, and if it doesn't fit their persuasion, it's not going to reach the mass mind.
They will literally bury it again, won't they?
Exactly, and I'm convinced that that has happened in the case of the history of ancient Sumeria.
Gosh, you know, William, if I could turn back time and go back 5,000 years, for example, and witness what might have been happening, what a story we could come back today and tell. Yet you have those tablets, which may be a blueprint for what happened. Now, others interpret it different ways. Mike Kaiser interprets it his way, Zachariah Sitchin his way.
Yep.
You your way. How do we know who's right and who's wrong?
Well, let me just insert this. You know, Heiser challenged me to a debate on his website. He said I raped the Bible in saying that it has anything to do with extraterrestrial stargates or anything like this. But yet in his own words on your show, he says that Nibiru, according to the Sumerian dictionaries, literally translated means crossing and gateway. It also means star. So I asked the simple question,
could it be
a star gateway? And Heiser's response is, one, you're wasting my time and me having to respond to you, even though he challenged me to a debate.
You guys been going at it on your websites?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not exactly going at it. You know, he comes riding in, waving his credentials, and I got to tell you, I don't have credentials.
That's cool. I like you both. You know.
Yeah. I like him, too. But you know what he says is that he makes a statement that every human alive today only knows what we know about the ancients because they wrote something down.
What's that referee for all those professional fights? What's his name? Miles something? He was always in those Muhammad Ali fights, the guy with a bald head. Well, I don't have the bald head, but I sometimes feel that way.
Yeah. Well, let me say this, though, George. You know, it's simply a lie that we know only about history because people wrote something down. I mean, that is simply not true at all. There's a wonderful and illustrious oral and symbolic tradition that parallels history. And the reason these people don't write history down is because very often it's the dark priests that want to see those that know the real history of humanity persecuted.
Well, let me ask you a geological question.
Sure.
If you're living 5,000 years from now, And you know, what happens to you whereby your city then gets buried under tens and tens and tens of feet of sand? I mean, because I would assume if you were there all the time, even if it were over 1,000 years or 2,000 years, you know, you would just literally keep the place in order. For example, you know, I don't think New York will be under 1,000 feet of sand as long as people continue to exist there. Mm-hmm. So did something happen to these people just leave the areas they were in, and then all of a sudden it just got covered up by sand over the years?
Yeah, I asked the same question, too. I mean, isn't that interesting? Here they find these digs, and how does this stuff just stay where it stays?
Yeah, I mean, how did it happen, and where did the people go?
They're conquered, they're killed off, and time moves on. And so then, as you say, the city, the village, whatever it is, just simply gets buried underneath the sands of time, literally.
No, that's probably what happened then.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to be, and people abandon those areas, and they go to other places. Or maybe even in those days, they looted those places.
Very often they did, absolutely. But when you find examples of, like, Troy, mm-hmm. a lot of the scholars said, oh, Troy doesn't exist. But Schliemann, operating off of mythology, actually found the city of Troy. And so what it takes in many of these instances is just someone who's willing to take a few risks and actually seek this stuff out. Sometimes you hit pay dirt, sometimes you don't.
Well, let me corner you for a moment. Planet X, do you think it's a comet, an asteroid, a stargate, a star? What do you think it might be?
I've been over the years, and I, as I say in my books, I don't agree with Sitchin on everything he says. Certainly, I don't take his word as gospel.
Right.
I'll give you an example before I answer your other question. I mean, Sitchin had maintained that the Anunnaki came here to mine gold to repair the decaying atmosphere of their home world.
Right.
And they created the human body as a slave vehicle in order to lift that gold out of the ground.
Now, how did he get that story?
Well, he got that out of the Sumerian text.
All right.
But what I did, I didn't come out and say, well, I think Sitchin's dead wrong with that and anything like that. I looked mm-hmm. at that and said, well, wait a minute. You know, in the parallel oral tradition, the mystery school tradition, which included the alchemist, gold and soul, the human soul, are interchangeable.
Right.
So is it possible that they weren't here to create the human body as a vehicle to mine gold? Let's say our human body was manufactured or created by whoever our maker actually was as a vehicle through which our soul can ascend the ladder, our spinal cord system and our mystic anatomy, to heaven. Now, that said, what is this particular design useful for? Why are we bipedal? Why not make ourselves have, you know, 4 or 5 legs? I mean, why do we have just this particular body design that our souls inhabit?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer is, well, when you look at the stories, at the same time that they're designing the human body, they're also talking about coming through gateways, which
right.
is, by the very definition, Nibiru appears to be a star, a gate, and a bridge. So my answer to your question is, I believe Nibiru is a stargate. If it's not the actual stargate itself, the Anunnaki were bridge builders or construction engineers of the model of the Maya, who were building bridges between Earth and the center of our Milky Way galaxy.
Exactly. You know, because when you think of a bridge, it's not necessarily a physical structure.
Precisely. We're talking about a star bridge, if you will. And the human body was designed as a vehicle through which the soul can enter and travel that dimensional gateway, that star gate. And that, I believe, is what Nibiru is.
Now, do you think it comes around every 3,600 years, or is it always here somewhere?
Well, again, you know, going back to what Mike Heiser said during your interview and in his papers, which I thought was most interesting, they talk about, and this is my interpretation of it, they talk about Nibiru. They can't decide if Nibiru is the planet Mercury, or maybe it's Jupiter, maybe it's Mars. It appears to move. Now, this can be explained by precession or some other astronomical explanation, mm-hmm. but I ask, is it possible with what we know about what's happened on Mars vis-a-vis Richard Hoagland and other researchers,
sure.
is it possible that Nibiru is or was Mars? And Mars was at one time a stargate. But now that technology, after a terrible cataclysm on Mars, when Mars at one time meant soil, in other words, it was a green and verdant planet, suddenly it became a planet that was devoid of life. Is it possible the Anunnaki picked up, moved their Stargate technology to Earth? And now Earth is the Nibiru, the Stargate.
Maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
It's just, I'm asking a question. I'm not saying that this is definitely so. I'm asking a question. And now what I have to do, that I've got myself out on a limb here, is come back to science and ask, is this possible? And I believe that it is possible.
I'll tell you the one thing that is probably for sure, and that is there's something out there in this universe, William, that all of you who are striving to find one day will find an answer to something. Because I do believe, whatever it is, there's something there that is very strange, very mystical. And
that's the key word, George, is mystical.
Yes.
You're talking from the right side of the brain. And there are those researchers that would this is what they do to me. Prove it. Show me in the tablets where it says it's mystical. The word mystical doesn't even appear in the Sumerian dictionary. Therefore, you can't use it when you're interpreting Sumerian text. And you know what I say to that? You're crazy.
Yeah.
You are nuts. You
have to go with your gut.
You have to go with the gut. If you're living on the logical left side and are not attempting to balance the mystical or spiritual, you're in trouble.
Hey, when we come back, I want to know about your France trip and what you're going to look for, okay?
Okay.
William Henry, my guest, get up to his website, which is williamhenry.net. Already, if you're on coasttocoastam.com, just link right up there. It's easy for you. I'm George Norrie, back with more with investigative mythologist William Henry in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Covert at Covert Country. And when you buy your GM cars or Chevy trucks in the Coverts, we'll service it at our Austin location. That's right. We have 3 convenient service centers, including Austin, Hutto, and Bastrop. And no one in Central Texas has more GM certified master technicians than the Coverts. That's the way you get the best of the best in customer service. Covert Country, the low price champion. Highway 71 in Bastrop. Or visit us on the web at covertbastrop.com. We'll be there.
There you are. You and your lady gliding down the highway in your new Escapabilon SUV.
Gliding down the highway.
You hug the curves as your Escapabilon responds to your every touch. You ride in silky smooth Corinthian leather. Nothing can stop you now.
Nothing's gonna stop you.
How are you doing today? Sir, I noticed you aren't wearing your safety belt.
My bad.
I'm going to have to write you a ticket.
Gonna have to ticket you.
And I'm going to have to ticket the background singers in the car behind you for not wearing belts either.
Gonna have to find a new kid.
From May 19th through June 1st, there will be increased enforcement of seatbelt laws, so buckle up. Unbuckled drivers and passengers can be fined up to $200. We're serious about saving lives. Click it or ticket. Brought to you by the Texas Department of Transportation.
News Radio 590, KLBJ, Austin. When you need to to know. Depend on the only Austin radio station giving you local news on the hour and half hour. Now, here are Austin's top stories on News Radio 590 ALBJ.
Good morning. I'm Lane Ingram. The Texas legislature is considering redistricting voting areas throughout Texas, which has many people, including Travis County officials, up in arms. Details ahead on Austin's News Leader, News Radio 590 KLBJ Austin.
From ABC News, I'm Dorothy McIntyre. It's worse than a nightmare. The words of a Missouri resident whose grandparents were killed by one of the nearly 90 tornadoes that ripped through the Midwest and South Sunday and early Monday. ABC's Mike Von Fremd is in Jackson, Tennessee. He says that city's historic district was destroyed.
Fortunately, the tornado hit late Sunday night when the restaurants here were closed and the streets empty. Most of these businesses are insured, and in time, these apartments and stores will all be rebuilt. The real tragedy of this storm took place when the tornado touched down again just a few miles outside the city.
ABC's Mike Von Fremd. Just about every structure in Pierce City, Missouri was either damaged or destroyed. Weather Channel meteorologist Jim Cantori is there. He says the only really safe place to take shelter from a twister is underground.
These are the kind of storms that blow up, and literally, in 40 minutes, they are spinning and they are causing destruction. And that's what we saw happen with this particular tornado outbreak.
The tornadoes killed at least 37 people. Several others are still missing. Some of the people now being held at the U.S. Naval Base in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, will be leaving soon.
More than 600 prisoners are now being held in Gitmo. The dozen or so that will be moved out later this week are not being set free, but instead will be turned over to other governments to be held or placed on trial. Only about two dozen prisoners have been let go since the camp opened in January of 2002. Secretary of State Colin Powell has called on the Pentagon to step up the pace in determining the fate of those prisoners. Many have been held for more than a year and a half without access to a lawyer. Andrew Kremitas, ABC News, Washington.
Relatives have lined the pier of a U.S. naval base in Japan to welcome the USS Kitty Hawk. It's returning after 4 months supporting the Iraq War. You're listening to ABC News.
I love listening to radio so much, we started Sea Crane Company. Hi, this is Bob Crane, and if you love listening to radio, let me tell you about our brand new CC Radio Plus. The CC Radio will pick up more stations than you ever had before, and the stations you listen to now will come in clearer. And the sound is rich and truthful for the best human voice possible. And I personally guarantee that the CC Radio is the best radio you can own for news, information, and sports. You can learn more about the CC Radio by getting our free catalog that tells all about the CC Radio and dozens of other unique items. You can give us a call right now at 800-522-8863 or on the web at ccradio.com.
The CC Radio Plus is just $159.95, and that includes shipping.
There's still a long way to go to make homes safer. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Retired football players who suffered three or four concussions have twice the risk of later developing clinical depression, a risk that increases with even more injuries, according to the research. Iowa State University basketball coach Larry Eustace has resigned a week after published photos showing him drinking and partying with college students. He'll receive a settlement of about $960,000. No more smoking in Boston in all indoor workplaces, including bars and restaurants. That ban could spread to the rest of Massachusetts. This is ABC News.
News Radio 590 KLBJ. I'm Lane Ingram. It's 2:04 and topping Austin's news this hour. Travis County commissioners get an update today on an odor study at some northeast Travis County landfills. A group of residents, businesses, and others have been selected for the first phase of the study. John Cool with the county's Natural Resources Department says they'll begin meeting once they hire a consultant for this study.
Consultant to sort of head up that public process, so it would probably be within a week or 10 days of that award of that contract.
Cool says they hope to have the consultant hired within the next 2 weeks. Austin city leaders line up to oppose a redistricting plan considered this week by the Texas House. News Radio 590 KLBJ Stephen Pickering reports it would split Austin into several different congressional districts.
That would mean that different parts of Austin would be linked to some far-flung parts of the state instead of putting all of the city in one single congressional district, which is the case now. Austin Mayor Gus Garcia says that split would make it more difficult for Austin's voice to be heard on Capitol Hill.
Every major city has their own congress.
Congressman. And to divide us into three or four districts and, you know, have folks from San Antonio or anywhere else representing us is not the American way.
Garcia says it's not about whether Austin's representative is a Democrat or Republican, but about the city's ability to elect a representative that's familiar with Austin's issues. Stephen Pickering, News Radio 590 KLBJ.
Now, the News Radio 590 KLBJ Radar Weather Watch with staff meteorologist Bill Lemmer.
Very summery air remains over much of central and southern Texas, along with our very warm surface temperatures, however. Mild air aloft is keeping us out of the thunderstorm game that continues in areas well to our north and east. So scattered clouds giving way to some low overcast by morning, 70. That'll clear, allowing us up to around 90 degrees. Could see an isolated afternoon thunderstorm and ditto for Wednesday. Near 90 could be a storm, but they'll be isolated or few and far between. I'm Bill Lemmer, News Radio 590, KLBJ.
Currently in Austin, it's mostly cloudy and 77 degrees. I'm Lane Ingram, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The News Watch never stops on Austin's news leader, News Radio 590, KLBJ.
Some of them want to use you. Some of them want to get used by you. Some of them want to abuse you. Some of them want
somewhere
to
out there. Is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, my guest tonight is investigative mythologist Mr. William Henry. William this month is going on a little trip to France. We'll tell you about that and also about another new book he is working on. Yes, indeed, that is available to you. We'll tell you about that in a moment. How would you like to increase your investment returns? Just about any increase right now is pretty good, isn't it? Turn to gold. Well, just like the Anunnaki did, you can too. But no, they used it for their atmosphere. You might want to use it to put away and to save it for a rainy day. Gold is not the kind of investment where you jump on and jump off real quickly. It's not one of those deals. It's a long-term hedge against all kinds of things. And that's why people like Merrill Lynch and Forbes and CNBC and Wall Street Journal say that money continues to move to gold. Here's a toll-free phone number. There's a reason I'm giving it to you. 1-800-474-4259. That's toll-free. It's Lear Financial. Mention Coast to Coast. They'll send you a free gold investor kit. They'll get it right out to you. 1-800-474-4259. Lear Financial. Free kit on gold investing. Learn all about it. Call Lear back when you're ready to do something. 1-800-474-4259.
Right now, a grandmother is tickling her grandson. Right now, someone's reeling in a mighty big catfish. Right now, people everywhere feel like their old selves again. Because now there's new Blue Emu, America's fastest-growing topical pain reliever for joint pain and muscle aches. It's made with 7% pure emu oil, a pain remedy used in Australia for thousands of years. So it penetrates deep and fast. Get back to being you with new Blue Emu, the breakthrough in pain relief. Available at stores everywhere.
Mom?
Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day. Don't like the sound of that?
So, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug. Call 1-800-788-2800 for more information. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with William Henry. William, okay, let's talk a little bit about your trip and how long has it been in the planning stages?
We've been planning this for almost a year now. Ivy West at ancientwisdomtours.com has been helping us put it together.
Oh, she invited me too, and I just can't go this year.
Okay, well, maybe next year.
I will do the best I can.
Yeah. And we're calling it a Holy Grail pilgrimage. We're going to meet Lawrence Gardner in Paris. And what we're after are the ultimately part of the secrets of what the Anunnaki came here for. Enki is the name of one of the Anunnaki scientists that came to Earth early on. And
he was Mr. Genetics, wasn't he?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he came here in addition to searching for gold or souls. He was here in search of the blue stones that cause ill. Now, when you read that at face value, as some logical, very left-brain scholars do, they think, oh, he's here looking for something that makes you sick.
Yeah.
Perhaps radium, cobalt, something
along. Yes, something that has a radioactivity to it or something.
Right. But actually, it's a pun. It's a wordplay. And the ill is a reference to illumination, Illuminati. He's looking for the blue stones that cause enlightenment. And this is what we find throughout the history of France. The cathedral builders, for example, at Chartres, where we'll be going, literally built the Chartres Cathedral as a musical instrument designed to embody or capture these blue stones.
Now, what do you mean by built it as a musical instrument? The whole cathedral?
The whole cathedral is built based upon musical proportions.
Ah.
And the idea is that these cathedrals would capture these particular tones called blue stones or blue tones that are incredibly compassionate at their heart, but also at the same time have the effect of creating enlightenment within the human being. This is the secret that I believe that the Templars recovered from the site of Mount Moriah in Jerusalem.
Well, we didn't talk about blue stones. Are you talking about something, a physical thing here?
We're talking about something that's physical, but something that is also esoteric in nature. Because, again, we're not just talking about a literal stone. When you remove the letter S from the word stone, you're left with the word tone. So actually, and we know that a stone emits a key tone frequency or vibration. And that's the esoteric nature of these blue stones. I mean, French mythology and lore says that the spirit of the blue stones is literally captured in the blue glass that made the made Chartres Cathedral so famous.
Ah, okay. All right. Now I'm following. So you go to this cathedral. Now they know you're coming, right?
Yes.
Okay. And there's no problem going there, investigating, or doing what you're going to do?
None whatsoever. In fact, what's most fun is when you're spending time around the cafes that line the cathedral or right beside it. These are where the locals hang out, and they're the ones that know the oral tradition. See, Chartres Cathedral and other cathedrals, there's hardly a scrap of text anywhere in these cathedrals, but yet they call them books in stone. Because they, to the initiated, to those that know the oral tradition that's passed down from generation to generation to generation, these cathedrals are literal books or encyclopedias in stone that tell amazing stories amazing history.
How old is this cathedral?
It's the present cathedral's construction started around 1200 A.D., approximately the time that the Templars were inaugurating the cathedral age.
They knew things that we just have not grasped.
They had a different perspective on life than we did. They focused their energies differently than we do. They were interested in the ultimate secrets of enlightenment, and they believed that they found these secrets. They brought them back to Paris, first to the first Gothic cathedral at Saint Denis. Then they inaugurated the cathedral age, and Chartres Cathedral is considered one of the mother cathedrals, along with Notre Dame in Paris. We'll be visiting there as well.
Do you remember Raiders from the Lost Ark?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a frozen, and then he became human, figure of, I thought was a knight guarding part of that. Would he have been a Knights Templar?
Quite possibly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's definitely a crusader type. Yeah, that was kind of neat.
Exactly. Exactly. What might you stumble across on your little journey here?
Well, one of the things, I'm looking for the places where these blue stones or the blue tones are embodied the most. And this is your cathedrals. This is a village called Rennes-le-Château in southern France where we'll be visiting. And the idea is that when you visit these places, the air is just literally alive or ringing with the tones emanating from these blue stones that cause illumination. Now, here's kind of where it gets into the mystical or esoteric side. The idea is that these gods, when they came to Earth, they projected into the thought sphere of our planet all the sacred knowledge of the universe. This is sort of like a cosmic internet, the way they describe it. Just like we have an ionosphere that surrounds our planet, they also say there is a thought sphere, and there's also a sphere of souls. And this is, you know, pretty, this is advanced metaphysical teaching here. And the idea is that these masters, including the Templars, had the ability to bring this knowledge into their body, to actually wire themselves up to this cosmic internet. And what I'm in search of is the means that we can do that today. I'm convinced that this cosmic internet is still in place, that sacred knowledge is still free-floating in the air all around us. Artists, musicians, writers, painters talk about it all the time.
Maybe they tap into it all the time.
Like John Lennon said, hey, I didn't write a lot of those Beatles songs. I put my name on them, but I didn't write them. They just came to me fully formed.
Uh-huh.
Now, a lot of artists, musicians, writers, and painters can say that, including Lennon, but others can't. And for whatever reason, and I believe that it's actually real, and if you can put yourself in tune or in resonance with these ideas, you can become them. Now, this is a scary thought.
You have no idea how close you are to the truth right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm telling you this from experience. And it doesn't necessarily have to be artistic
mm-hmm.
or creative. It could also be emotional or spiritual. It's this wireless internet that you talk about,
right,
that everybody has the ability to tap into to do some absolutely incredible things.
Exactly. And that's the value. That's what we're after on this pilgrimage, is how can we tap into that Grail or Christ thought form, if you will.
How do you find it, William? How do you go about looking for something that is out there, but you can't feel it, you can't see it?
Well, you have to follow the clues as best you can that are provided. You go to the places, and you talk with the locals, and you find out, what do you know that you... Like, for example, when we go to Rennes-le-Château, it's been my experience in the past that you have to kind of get to know the locals a little bit, because at first you say, oh, I'm here looking for the secrets of the Cathars. Well, the first thing they're thinking is, well, do you have a gun with you?
Yeah.
Do you have a knife with you? Are you here to take us out?
Yeah.
What
are you going to steal from our place?
What are you going to steal from our place? Yeah. Right. So you have to kind of come with an open heart and also an open mind and kind of get to know the people a little bit. And once they detect that you are an open-hearted and an open-minded person, they'll talk with you all day. And that's what is truly, truly gratifying to me. I've made great friends over there as a result.
Well, when you're there, how long are you going to be there?
We'll be there 12 days.
Will you know, or at what point, I mean, what will hit you when you say to yourself, I've stumbled into something, or I've uncovered something, or I have what I was looking for? Mm-hmm. How will you know that?
Well, and this is just kind of a nebulous answer, but I know it will be a feeling, most certainly. I'm not expecting to go there and all of a sudden start demonstrating any of the eight great powers, remote viewing, invisibility, or levitation, or anything like that. But I do hope to be able to recover some of the techniques that will enable us to more fully walk into that kind of a presence, mm-hmm. Becoming that kind of a being.
And it's not the kind of mission where you are going to fail or succeed, I don't think, is it?
No, you can't. The journey is the reward, as they say. And so when we're going here, it's like what they used to do with criminals in France. They had...
off with their head.
Well, no, they had the Road of Stars to Compostela. There was,
what the heck is that?
Well, in northern Spain, there was a chapel, a church, to St. James of Compostela. And if there was a criminal in Paris, they would have him walk the Pilgrim's Trail about 500 miles from Paris down to this chapel. And along the way, they would stop at various churches and see various things along the way and absorb the energy of the ground in France and the vital and magical energy that is there. And they figure that by the time that person left Paris and got to St. James of Compostela, they were transformed and would no longer commit criminal acts.
That's weird.
Yeah, imagine if we had a justice system that operated on that premise today.
Send them all through that.
Yeah, instead of chucking people in prisons, cages, why not find a way to transform the inner being by offering an experience such as this?
I would do it all except for those who are murderers.
Right.
That's a different type of punishment as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be following that trail in a sense. We'll be walking the Road of Stars, as they called it. The French said that the Road of Stars to Compostela was actually the Milky Way laid out on the terrain of France.
Do you expect the French to treat you a little differently since the Iraq situation?
I'm hoping enough time has passed. The reports that I've been hearing is that they're very friendly to Americans, that you're not hearing that they're taking it out on us or anything like that. So I'm anticipating that we're not going to have any trouble at all. In fact, I've found them to be extremely warm and gentle people, and that's what I'm expecting.
And to be truthful, William, you should be taking it out on them. I mean, and you won't do that because I know you. But, I mean, you're the one that has a beef here, not
right.
them.
And I'm just not the type that wants to, you know, confront them face on and all that kind of thing. I'm here to enjoy their country and to bring some of the mysteries back to America and try and keep the bridge built between our two countries.
Well, you know, your partners in there, Lawrence Gardner and Jim Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
Is Jim going to?
No, Jim's not going to be able to make it after all.
Okay, he's not going to make this one. Okay, he will regret it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe next time.
Yeah. Now with Gardner, do you guys work hand in hand? How does he handle a trip like this?
Oh, I can't wait to get over there, and he's going to be giving us several different lectures, and we're going to have plenty of time for interaction. It's going to be a great opportunity for me to sit down and go over a few things. And this is what I love about lecturing with Jim in the past. Jim feels that the psychedelic mushroom is the answer to the secret.
Yes, he does.
And then when you go to Lawrence Gardner, he's saying it's the white powder gold.
The white powder of gold, yeah.
And so, and then I have my own perspective. And what's neat about this group of people is that they embrace each other, and we're dialoguing. We're trying to really get at what was going on. We're trying to unify rather than separate. And that's what I feel is so important right now at this time, especially getting back to the Planet X subject. We can't be divisive here. We've got to put our heads together and understand what is happening right now. Because if we don't, each of us individually and collectively as a civilization can miss a tremendous opportunity.
Do you ever worry about us getting plowed by an asteroid?
No, I don't. I really don't. I mean, no, it's possible. And, you know, when those near misses happen, it's like, woo, you know.
I'm the same way. I don't wake up in the morning going, oh, no, we could get hit at any time.
Right. But, you know, taking a riff from Dr. Michio Kaku, I do believe that we are on that edge right now where we can begin to reach into the stars. And I'm convinced absolutely that Jim Arthur, Lawrence Gardner, William Henry, and people that are around this material, we have key pieces of information that will help us go into the stars. And we've got to do our best to present this information in a way that people will respond to so that they'll then join the conversation and help us really get an understanding about what's going on. I believe in reincarnation.
I do too.
And I think that there's an awful lot of Sumerians running around America today. That's why we care so deeply about what's going on in Iraq. We want that homeland back. And in fact, I think we're in the process of creating a combined America and Iraq. I call it Ameriqa, A-M-E-R-I-Q-A, a new democracy.
Might be better off, huh?
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that.
And so if reincarnation is valid, and there are players on the world stage that certainly believe that, then, you know, I subscribe to that Hollywood notion that nobody knows nothing. Nobody really knows what's going to work in Hollywood. But when you interpret that positively, nobody knows nothing means everybody knows something.
And my mother is extremely religious, William, and I almost had her convinced that reincarnation is very possible. I mean, she, you know, when we started talking about and arguing in a very friendly way about the possibilities, in talking about the fact that you come back to reach perfection and you do it again and again, I mean, I could see her saying, you know, well, this could be. This could be. So it doesn't, when you think about reincarnation, it doesn't mean that you're not spiritual by
right.
any means.
Right. But I also think it means that you do carry knowledge along with you. I've met a lot of wisdom bearers and people that are unexpected, have just tremendous knowledge that you just wouldn't expect them to possess.
I've always believed that the mere fact that you could talk about it today and at the evolution that you talk about means that you've reached a certain plateau in your own spiritual life that chances are, Mr. Henry, you're not coming back again.
Well, that would be the hope, wouldn't it?
Yeah, this could be it for you.
I mean,
you'll be back on the show. I'm talking about
right.
the William
right.
the William Henry spirit. This is it.
I mean, I've said often that, you know, we're on like a big cosmic merry-go-round. It's been going around for 26,000 years, and it's about to come to a stop here in December of 2012.
I just had a story of a woman who speaks 120 languages, mm-hmm. which means that she believes she has had 120 lives. I mean, my gosh, here's a woman who obviously took a long time to reach perfection. I don't think you have to come back that many times, do you?
You might be surprised how many times you do have to come back.
No, you're kidding me. You subscribe to the many time theory?
The many time theory?
Yeah, I mean, how many times do you come back?
Oh, well, it's probably individual. I mean, the Buddhists believe that you can achieve enlightenment in one lifetime. And wouldn't that be fantastic?
I don't think that happened with me.
All right. I've been around a few times, too. But maybe this time is my chance. You know, when the merry-go-round comes to a stop here in 2012 and the souls decide, hey, I'm going to stay on the ride for another turn, or maybe it's time to get off. We'll see.
Yeah, I was thinking about you. I was watching the CNN and Fox coverage of the war, mm-hmm. and they were talking about the close Republican Guard troops that Saddam Hussein had.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had even closer troops, and one of his elite guards were called the Nebuchadnezzars.
Right.
And I heard that word, and, you know, you were the first person to educate me to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Saddam thought that's who he was reincarnated of.
Right.
And the fact that I heard him, and he called his elite group that, it convinced me he thought that's who he was.
Absolutely. He's my greatest competition, if you want me to be honest with you.
Well, no, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I had said, look, this guy thinks he's the reincarnated Nebuchadnezzar. If that's so, and he's interpreting what Nebuchadnezzar had done in his life vis-a-vis opening up the fiery furnace or Stargate through which the Son of God emerged, then Saddam Hussein would theoretically, in my hypothesis, be interested in the blue stones that cause ill,
uh-huh.
the blue stones that cause immortality and enlightenment. Well, what happens after the war? Here comes this report. I actually found it on the Coast website. The San Jose Mercury News
yes.
publishes an article that says, hey, Saddam claims he has the stone of immortality. Bingo. Of course he does. Because he did have access to this information. He did know what was going on. I'm absolutely convinced of it.
Well, he better know what was going on. It was in his backyard.
Exactly. I mean, this was no, you know, he was crazy as Hitler, but he was also as almost, and this may sound strange, almost as enlightened as Hitler, because these people are not dolts by any stretch. They know exactly the supernatural forces that they carry within themselves.
I'm going to ask you the weirdest question of the night. Do you think that because he's missing, because some people have actually emailed me this, that he went through a Stargate?
Hey, anything is possible. Where is he?
I don't know.
You know, where is he? I mean, he's got to be somewhere. So that's quite possible in this world that I'm researching. I mean, and time will tell. I just stay tuned for the latest reports on, you know, what is coming out of Iraq. I can't wait to hear more about what the Iraqi people were taught to believe by Saddam.
Hey, when we come back, I want to ask you about the language of birds, okay?
Okay, great.
Language of birds, William Henry, my guest. And next hour, we'll just open up the phone lines and give you an opportunity to talk to investigative mythologist William Henry. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Prior. For all these years, I've thought that socks are haunted. If you haven't heard, the French can sometimes be quite haughty.
It was downright mortifying.
Catch his award-winning commentaries every weekday morning at 6:56 and 8:56 right here.
I hate cocktail party smoke.
All of a sudden, Jerry Springer seemed logical.
Texas Prior to be your home for Hall of Fame commentator Cactus Prior.
And while I'm at it, mister, here's my teeth and here's my hair, and that's all I'm going to show you.
News Radio 590 KLBJ.
News Radio 590 KLBJ. I'm Lane Ingram. It's 2:30 and topping Austin's news this hour,
Smoke blowing up from Mexico's agricultural burning could be a problem for Texas this year. KLBJ's Eileen Pace reports.
The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality says the smoke has not reached dangerous levels in central Texas yet this year, although it did go 2 points above the danger zone in the McAllen area on Monday. Spokesman Terry Clausen says persons who are sensitive should stay indoors if prevailing winds push the smoke this far north.
Elderly people, children, and anybody with sensitivities and respiratory problems.
The smoke is blown north every spring when farmers in Mexico burn their land to prepare for new crops, and some of the burning starts wildfires. The burning should be over by the end of May. Eileen Pace, News Radio 590 KLBJ.
Today's forecast contains scattered thunderstorms with a high of 88 degrees. Currently in Austin, it's cloudy and 77. I'm Lane Ingram. When news breaks, we break in on Austin's news leader, News Radio 590 KLBJ.
If you love working outdoors or decorating your home, you'll love the most beautiful landscaping and garden center in Central Texas, Flowerscapes Home and Garden Center in Liberty Hill. Come in today and see our huge new facility featuring everything the gardener needs, including Gardenville weed-free compost and mulch, Ladybug organic soils and fertilizers, gorgeous trees, flowers, and shrubs, plus a large selection of ladybugs, worms, and nematodes. We have extremely deep selections of Jackson and Perkins, David Austin, and antique roses, as well as books, hanging baskets, and wild bird supplies, and a sensational gift shop featuring genuine Texas works of art and water fountains. Visit Flowerscapes in Liberty Hill, and you'll come back again and again. Come to Flowerscapes today and ask for your free gift just for visiting our new location. We're here every day from 8 to 6, and it's a beautiful drive. From I-35 or 183, take 29 West to Liberty Hill and turn right at the first stoplight at 1869. Call Flowerscapes today at 515-5549. That's 515-5549. Or visit online at flowerscapes.info. Flowerscapes, the most beautiful landscaping and garden center in Central Texas.
Not certified by the State Board of Legal Specialization.
Dale spent yesterday with his family at the lake. He threw the frisbee to his boys. He walked around the lake with his wife and watched the boats glide by. Nothing too remarkable, you might think. But if you had seen Dale 3 years ago, you might indeed think it was an amazing day. You see, Dale was a construction worker when a strap holding steel rods busted. Over 3 tons of steel came rolling down at Dale, crushing his ankle and breaking both legs. The prognosis was uncertain. Dale might never walk again. Even worse, Dale's company balked at covering his medical cost, even though he'd been a great employee for years.
We could ever achieve before. Dr. Mitchell Wong and Dr. Shannon Wong are the first and only ophthalmologists in Austin offering custom cornea intralasic. Call today, 250-2020, or visit our website, austineye.com, to schedule your free consultation or to attend one of our upcoming seminars on May 6th and 7th to learn about custom cornea intralasic.
Mornings with Mark and Ed.
Do you know Saddam Hussein is the one who's the tyrant and the despot murdering his
own
people?
Sir, I know that. I was born and raised there, and he killed my father, but that's not the issue.
Saddam murdered your own father, and you're blaming President Bush. Ray, please, wake up.
The Morning Show. Weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 590 KLBJ.
I saw the look in your eyes, looking into
Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
We continue our little chat with William Henry. We'll tell you a little bit about the After Dark newsletter. June issues being worked on now. The phone number, if you'd like to order After Dark, 1-888-727-5505. You can also order it online. Very simple to do, very secure at coasttocoastam.com. Well, I completed my 10th week on Ultimate HGH, so I'm going to dabble with it for a little bit, and I feel 10 years younger in 10 weeks, charged and ready to go. Simple as that. You know, the effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH human growth hormone. I've been talking about it now for, couple of years now. The benefits of HGH, and according to thousands of articles, these higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. People take Ultimate HGH. It's a natural formula to help boost your body's own production of HGH. So if your goal is to help improve your energy and stamina, possibly lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance your memory, immune function, Ultimate HGH is for you. And by ordering two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you get number three absolutely free. That's about $33 a month that you would spend, and that's a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. You'll also get a free book on HGH. That's a $20 value. Call this number, 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627. This is for Ultimate HGH. 1-800-557-4627.
Do you or someone you love suffer from migraine headaches? Now there is a new all-natural physician-recommended formula containing ingredients proven to actually reduce the number and severity of migraines you have. This breakthrough product is called MigRelief. The number to call is 1-877-MIG-RELIEF. Neurologists and headache specialists throughout the United States have recommended MigRelief to thousands of migraine patients, and MigRelief is now available exclusively at independent pharmacies without a prescription. The number is 1-877-MIG-RELIEF. Here's what Mindy McStruhl, daughter of the National Pharmacist of the Year, has to say. MigRelief helped me tremendously. I suffered for over 15 years. Now I recommend MigRelief to all the migraine sufferers who come to our pharmacy. Call 1-877-MIG-RELIEF or log on to MIGRELIEF.com. Order MigRelief today. It may change your life.
Welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. You're still getting some more, by the way, tornado warnings in that Tennessee region. It's what's the weather like exactly now, William, where you are?
It's very calm right now.
It is.
I'm here in Nashville. I'm in actually downtown Nashville, and it's quite calm right now.
So I'm looking at my radar, and it looks like the whole state is inundated. I mean, it's got to be cloudy at least out there.
Oh, yeah.
It?
Very dark clouds.
Okay. Yeah, you've got storms coming. So as they say, be careful. Be careful. Language of the birds. What's that?
It's probably one of the most important things I've ever come upon in my quest to understand ancient myths and legends.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's the key to all of mythology. Language of the birds is actually the language of the angels. We're not talking about tweet-tweet kind of birds.
No,
kind of thing.
No.
I had a so-called scholar of ancient language recently that challenged me on this thing, and he said, oh, William Henry talks to birds. He gets his information from birds. He's mentally ill. And my retort was, this is not a scholar of ancient languages. You know, this person doesn't know of the existence of this very important pre-flood language. They tell us that at one time there was one language spoken on Earth, a primordial pre-flood language, and it was called the language of the birds. And what it does, George, is it uses phonetic resonance. It's called a phonetic Kabbalah. It uses resonance between words to link seemingly unrelated concepts.
Okay, yeah, you're going to give me an example?
Can I pick on you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, what does the name Nori mean?
I think it means the light.
Wow, that's good, George. Why does it mean the light?
I have no idea.
Well, if I were investigating, let's just say hypothetically it's 150 years, 200 years from now, and our civilization's been wiped out, but we learned that there was a person named George Norrie, and I have the key to all of mythology, which happens to be the English dictionary. And I get into this English dictionary, and I look up the word George Norrie.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is that, mythologically speaking, George is the archetypal dragon slayer.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look up the name Norrie, you find out that the root nu, N-O-O, means knowledge. It means wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And re, R-Y, means ray. So we might be able to hypothesize using the bird language that this person, George Norrie, was interested or involved in spreading knowledge. He was a ray of light or wisdom.
Excellent.
And now when we, that's a very right-brained interpretation. And then what I do is I go back to the left brain, to the science, and say, now, what did George Nuri do for a living?
All right.
The answer is he was a radio broadcaster who broadcasted knowledge.
And they'd say, what was radio?
And they'd say, what was radio? And now this leads into the web of interrelationship and connections. See, every word that comes out of our mouth is like a smoke ring. It potentially can lead us into a web of relationships or connections. And this is what I do, for example, with the word like Nibiru. I mean, language scholars just go ballistic with this technique. You can't do that. Well, what I do is I take the word and treat it like a coconut. Let's cut Nibiru in half in the bird language. And what you find is that the word Nibiru is composed of the words Nib, which means lofty place or star, and Ru, which in numerous languages means passageway.
That is interesting.
So all I've done here is I get out my English dictionary, which they tell us is the key to the language of the birds, and I look back at these ancient texts just for insight. I'm not saying it's a perfect science, but what it does is they tell us that this helps to bring us into this web of relationships and to see the interconnectedness of all of creation. Now, unfortunately, what happened was is humanity was united by language, and then along comes an episode called the Tower of Babel, where humanity gathers to build a tower that reaches into the heavens.
Mm-hmm. And they build it.
But God, Yahweh, says, hey, I'm not ready for company, guys. And he smashes our tower, demolishes it, and separates humanity by language. Now, before the Babel incident, the word Babel meant gate, as in gate to God. Afterward, the Hebrew priest switched the meaning of the word Babel from gate to confusion and nonsense. So what they did then is they figured that all those people that talked about the gate to God and the existence of this stargate to heaven talk nonsense, and they're babblers. You know what Mike Kaiser says I talk? Nonsense, and I babble. I say to him, thank you. Thank you so much, because you validated my approach here. But the fact is, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Calls me mentally ill for using this language.
I'm going to take you both out to dinner one night.
There's a tremendous opportunity here to unite the left and right in this dialogue. And that's what I'm hoping will be able to emerge from these kinds of conversations, because there are definitely two sides to this story. There's the written text, the written tablets, but then there's the oral tradition that uses the language of the birds to communicate mystic and mythical secrets. Now,
it's almost like a code.
It is a code. In fact, the word bird encodes the code, because phonetically the word bird is bard in Ireland, and a bard is a poet. So the language of the birds is the language of the bards or the poets.
Bards, you sound like you're from southern Illinois.
Right, there you go. But in another way, if you ask a child to say the word bird, a lot of times they're going to say bud. You ever heard a child say that?
Yeah, bud. Oh yeah.
Well, what's a bud? Well, a bud is a flower. But a bud is also the root for Buddha or Buddha, which means awakening. So in this way, by entering the web of relationships, the language of the birds becomes the language of the Buddhas, the language of the awakened ones.
Do you think every word, old word, can be broken down this way and try to be interpreted?
Every word can be broken down this way. Every single word is sort of what you're doing as you're digging into the word, similarly to the way a geologist digs into the soil. And what happens is the deeper you go, the closer you get to the root mother tongue, the language of the birds. And what happens is, and scholars, again, just dismiss this as fanciful and sick, basically, but in the bird language, word meanings are cumulative. So in other words, I can look at any word and derive the relationships from it by looking at its accumulated meanings throughout history.
Well, what about like Henry? I mean, would that have any significance, like Nori being the light?
Right. I mean, it may. If you're looking at it, you're looking at a name or a place name contains a resonance that may point to a certain life mission of the individual.
Or his family.
Or his family, or point to the insight of that particular place. And so, like the name Henry, obviously hen is a bird, and re, again, means light. So I'm William, bird of light, is a way of fancifully thinking about William Henry. That doesn't mean I am a bird of light, but it does mean that if I were to tap into the mythological resonance of my name, if I'm looking for my soul's life lesson or life plan, I might well find it there. John F. Kennedy's name, the name Kennedy means ugly head.
Ugly head. Why did he always go by Jack, by the way? If your name is John, why go by Jack?
You know, I don't know where Jack came from.
In a lot of people who are Johns call themselves Jack.
Mm-hmm. But what I was alluding to with John Kennedy was, if the name Kennedy means ugly head, look what happened in the life of John F. Kennedy.
Ugly head. Yeah, that's true.
Ronald Reagan was famous for his Star Wars, a ray gun up in the sky.
Well,
this
done.
Is hilarious. I could make a whole religion out of Bugs Bunny if you gave me enough time.
Well, since I got to talk to Michael Reagan, the president's son, and talk about that. That is fascinating.
Again, it's instructive. It's very right brain, but the language of the birds mandates that if you go over to the right, you've got to come back to science and be able to show and prove what you're doing. And this is what I'm attempting to do by treating Nibiru like a coconut, cutting it in half, and finding out that it means lofty place. It's a passageway. Because this is what the Sumerians seem to be alluding to as well. And so now what I'm challenged with doing is going back to science and saying, how could this be possible? How can we create a passageway into the stars?
I wonder what Sitchin means. Did you ever analyze that one?
No, I haven't.
I wonder what that would be. William, the work of... Would you consider yourself a scientist?
No, I'm a poet. I am a mythologist. But I take the poetry and the mythology that I glean and juxtapose it with science, which is another of the...
That's very close.
...of the bird language, yes.
I mean, extremely close.
Right. I mean, and that's what I see is where the value of my work is that constantly in lectures and in my books, I'm saying, here's an ancient poetic idea, but look, it matches up with modern science. We put the two together and we come up with something beautiful.
I would guess that more mythologists are apt to accept science than scientists are to accept mythology.
Oh, no question. I mean, even Joseph Campbell, one of the greatest mythologists of all time, fought this battle. And it's just, again, you're dealing with the two halves of the human brain. You've got the left and logical side and the right and the poetic and mythological side. And it's attempting to build that bridge of light between the two that's the challenge. See, critics can look at me and totally dismiss what I say, but I'm the opposite. I can scoop up everything these language scholars say and bring it into my world and make use of it and educate and unite. And so that's the difference here, is we have to be able to have the science, but we also have to have the poetry that goes along with it, but we've got to build the bridge of light in between the two.
A few years ago, when I was studying up on the Mayan calendar, I thought 2012 was so long away.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 9 years away.
Right.
That's nothing.
Right.
I mean, this thing's going to be up and on us, and what's going to happen?
Well, I've predicted one of the things we're going to see is military activity down there in the Yucatan.
Or what kind?
Well, probably something like the full-scale perimeter wipe down that we just experienced in Iraq.
And when? Close to that year,
that
period?
Yeah, probably 3 to 4 years before, probably around 2008 or so, we'll start to see some terrorist activity in the Yucatan that's got to be dispensed with, and we'll see that area locked down as well.
What would be there that we would want?
Gosh, those books in stone that the Mayans left with us. John Major Jenkins, for example, has done a tremendous job at decoding those Mayan pyramids down there and telling us, hey, they've left a blueprint, an instruction manual for when 2012 comes and that serpent rope comes out of the sky. Now, John Major Jenkins says, and I agree, that that serpent rope is actually a wormhole. And in 2012, what he says is going to happen is the god of nine winds, who may be Quetzalcoatl, the king of Tula, the center of our Milky Way galaxy, is going to come out of that wormhole and deliver an enlightenment teaching.
All right, so you are saying on Coast to Coast, the first time we've heard this, that there could be military action in that region in 5-6 years in anticipation of the end of the Mayan calendar.
Yes.
That's pretty dramatic stuff.
Yes, I stand by that. I believe that that will occur.
Now, when we get to this 2012 year in December, what does that mean for us?
Well, the question is it all going to just kind of go splat during that time? Is it all going to immediately unfold? There are those that say that 2012 isn't the key date, that it really, and this is, you know, kind of not backpedaling here. I'm just reporting what other people have told me who know about these alignments, and they say that the actual date is between 2012 and 2200.
So they could be off.
They could be off. It's
by a long, long
way. Definitely the commencement. But listen, George, this 2012 business started with the Mayans 1,000 years ago. They're describing a serpent rope. Who could have possibly known that at this time in history we would have at the very apex of our technology a thought form called Stargate or wormhole?
Nobody, unless they were told or witnessed something.
Precisely. And, you know, like Dr. Kaku says, this represents the survival, if not the salvation, of our species. If we don't embrace the Stargate and wormhole concept, we will inherit the wind. We're space dust. And that's why I'm so passionate about this, because we've got to begin to look at the past as instructive, as containing instructive information for our future, because they're telling us what is going to unfold here. And it just, again, so happens that the cutting edge of our science is Stargate and wormhole science. I mean, imagine that.
Do you see this 2012 date as probably one of the most important dates in our history right now?
A total reorienting moment, a multifaceted moment, just like, you know, the crack of that gun from the Texas School Book Depository changed American history. Something's going to come out of the sky, maybe that serpent rope, maybe something else in 2012. We're going to be gaining awareness of what happens at the center of our Milky Way galaxy. Shamans of times past said it was called Tula, which is a Sanskrit word that means balance and compassion.
Well, this may not be a bad thing, right?
It's going to be a phenomenal thing. It's going to be, as John Major Jenkins says, a moment of cosmogenesis, of rebirth, of renewal.
Jeez.
And each and every one of us are participants in this event. It's kind of like, did you see the movie, it was the follow-up to 2001.
It was another space odyssey.
Right.
Yeah.
And in there, they showed that all of a sudden a second healing sun appeared in our solar system.
Dave, something wonderful.
Right. Well, the healing sun already exists. It's at the center of our Milky Way galaxy. It's beaming cosmic rays in our direction. And these cosmic rays get imbued in the soil of such places as southern France. And when we walk those places, we're absorbing those cosmic rays. In fact, you know, all of the Mystery School teachings are about how to bring the healing energy from this central healing sun into our bodies so that we can, in fact, become that energy and build a bridge of light between Earth and the center of our Milky Way galaxy.
It seems, William, that all the ancients possessed this knowledge, and we've lost it.
They have, and I wrote a book called The Healing Sun Code, which is all about the wisdom that is believed to be embodied, imbued within those cosmic rays. Do you realize that when we started sending astronauts up on the Apollo missions, that they had to build special helmets? Because when they looked into space, these cosmic rays bombarded the retinas of the astronauts, and they started seeing these amazing, vibrant symbols called phosphenes. Well, George, the phosphenes that these astronauts were seeing were the exact same symbols that appeared on rocks in Australia and the southwestern portion of America going back 30,000 years. they were the exact same symbols, too, that Tim Leary and his bunch were seeing when they were dropping acid up at Harvard.
That's true.
And what they concluded is that our DNA is literally hardwired with this cosmic wisdom. And the cosmic rays emanating from the center of our galaxy trigger that wisdom within us. So does walking places on the Earth that is imbued with this energy. Rennes-le-Château, France, for example.
Very good. Very good. Well, William, when we come back, I want to open up the phone lines, give people
Great.
An opportunity to chat with you. Remember the referee I was talking about? It was Mills Lane. That was his name.
Oh.
I'll be Mills Lane, and you'll play your part.
Great.
But we'll do that. Let's open up the phone lines. You know the numbers. We'll give them to you at the top of the hour for William Henry. Any questions you might have about his many travels. Again, his website is williamhenry.org, or .net rather, williamhenry.net. But it's already linked up with coasttocoastam.com. It's already there. Take a look at some of the many books that he has written, and the many mythological journeys that he has taken. And you'll find out that William Henry is one special kind of person. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in just moments on Coast to Coast AM.
If you're thinking about new carpet tile or pre-finished wood flooring for your home, you owe it to yourself to see the huge selection and fantastic prices at the Floor King. The Floor King is unique. They are locally owned and operated, but they have the buying power of a national company because they are a member of Carpet One. This tremendous buying power means you'll find all the top quality brands, extremely competitive prices. The Floor King, a member of Carpet One. Go by today and visit my friends at the Floor King, Research Boulevard, just north of Breaker, or on South Lamar. The Floor King, member Carpet One.
Not certified by the State Board of Legal Specialization.
Dale spent yesterday with his family at the lake. He threw the frisbee to his boys. He walked around the lake with his wife and watched the boats glide by. Nothing too remarkable, you might think. But if you had seen Dale 3 years ago, you might indeed think it was an amazing day. You see, Dale was a construction worker when a strap holding steel rods busted. Over 3 tons of steel came rolling down at Dale, crushing his ankle and breaking both legs. The prognosis was uncertain. Dale might never walk again. Even worse, Dale's company balked at covering his medical costs, even though he'd been a great employee for years. Dale was able to walk with his wife and run with his kids yesterday because something happened. That something was Scott Ogle, attorney at law. He saw to it that Dale received his medical care, and today his legs and his life are complete again. Scott Ogle, 442-8833, 442-8833.
News Radio 590, KLBJ, Austin. This is Austin's 24-hour newsroom. 24-hour newsroom. News Radio 590, KLBJ. Here's this hour's top story.
Good morning, I'm Lane Ingram. The congressional redistricting of Texas has sparked a great deal of debate throughout the state, and Governor Rick Perry speaks out about school finance. Details ahead on News Radio 590 KLBJ Austin. Check your watch. It's 3 o'clock. From ABC News. I'm Brad Wheelis. More tornadoes are possible this week for the Midwest and Mississippi Valley. At least 37 people died in one of the heaviest outbreaks of twisters in years.
You're talking about a very, very powerful tornado. So far on paper, if you just look at this outbreak, it is up there within the top 10. Right now it sits at number 7 all time as far as number of tornadoes with a certain outbreak. And that is pretty incredible.
Weather Channel meteorologist Jim Cantore. At least two people died in Pier City, Missouri. The damage extensive. Renita Hosler is with the Red Cross.
You suddenly see these grand brick buildings that have just been flattened. And it really kind of makes you stop and think for a minute about just what type of disaster went through here and affected this community.
The town of about 1,400 saw nearly every home and business damaged or destroyed. Kentucky wasn't spared either. A tree came crashing down on Martha Miller's Louisville home.
It can all be fixed. The whole thing of it is if they get that tarp on before that next rain comes in.
Researchers are trying to patent the SARS virus and its genetic material. Government agencies, biotechnology, and pharmaceutical companies are claiming ownership of bits and pieces related to SARS. Nonprofit groups maintain this is an effort to keep the SARS work public domain while researchers seek a cure. Some of the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay may be leaving soon. ABC's John McQuethy with more from the Pentagon.
Officials say those being shipped out of Guantanamo are not being let go. They are being turned over to other governments who will hold them, perhaps for trial. But in every case, sources say, these are people the U.S. no longer believes are useful sources of intelligence or a major threat to the U.S.
A so-called nucleus of leadership could be in place in Iraq within days, this according to the U.S. civil administrator. And this will be the first step in the selection of an interim government. From the ABC Money Scope in Tokyo, the Nikkei closed up 176 points, or nearly 2.25%. You're listening to ABC News.
Hi, I'm Derek Cope, race car driver and TV analyst. You've probably heard me talk about Avacor, the revolutionary hair regrowth system that has been successful for most everyone who's used it. Now, listen to what Avacor users have to say about this remarkable treatment.
I am 39 years old. I've been slowly balding over the last 10 years. Thanks to Avacor, my hair is coming back and I couldn't be more excited.
The best product that I've tried.
Nothing has worked like this product to restore the hair that I had when I was in my 20s. Avacor is the product of the 21st century.
Avacor is safe and effective. It's worked for tens of thousands of satisfied users, including me. Let Avacor work to regrow your hair naturally.
Join the tens of thousands of satisfied customers who have reversed their hair loss with...
Took three 18-wheelers to haul away the dough. The deadline for filing taxes has come and gone, except for those serving in the war with Iraq. Not only do they get extra time to file, they can still take deductions.
If you haven't put money into your individual retirement account for 2002, or perhaps you haven't started one, you might want to think about doing that because you still have time to do that.
Eric Smith with the IRS tells his troops will get an extra 180 days to file their income tax returns. Although Fred Rogers is gone, his advice will live on. Coming this fall, a new book, The World According to Mr. Rogers, a collection of inspirational sayings, advice, and anecdotes. This is ABC News.
News Radio 590 KLBJ. I'm Lane Ingram. It's 3:04 and topping Austin's news this hour. Austin city officials are wading into the debate over congressional redistricting facing the Texas legislature. Lawmakers are considering a plan that would split Austin into four different districts. Currently, all of Austin is contained within one district. Mayor-elect Will Wynn says that splitting up the city would weaken the ability of voters in Austin to elect a representative that's familiar with the area's needs and priorities.
I think Austin has earned its role in this state as a major urban area, as a business center, as a center of government, and I think this plan, as we see before us, clearly takes away from that.
The redistricting effort is being pushed by House Majority Leader Tom DeLay of Sugarland. The House Redistricting Committee is scheduled to resume hearings on the different proposals later today. Governor Rick Perry speaks out about school finance in Texas. News Radio 590 KLBJ's Ricky Reyes reports.
Yesterday, Governor Rick Perry questioned a plan endorsed by the Senate and introduced by Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst in dealing with Robin Hood. Governor Perry is leaning towards a plan in the House that will take a comprehensive look at public schools and not just about the shifting of taxes. The House has passed a bill that would repeal Robin Hood in 2004 and give schools additional funding while lawmakers draft a new finance system. Ricky Reyes, News Radio 590 KLBJ.
Now, the News Radio 590 KLBJ Radar Weather Watch with staff meteorologist Bill Lemmer.
A little overcast settling on in the early morning hours, feeling a lot more like June or July than a morning in early May. We may not go below 70 in many locations. Low cloud lingers for a few hours, then enough sunshine to take us well up into the 80s to around 90 degrees. Pretty warm, so we'll have to monitor for at least an isolated afternoon thundershower. And again Wednesday, we should be near 90. Isolated afternoon storm, more organized activity if it forms, should be well off to the north. I'm Bill Emmer, News Radio 590, KLBJ.
Currently in Austin, it's cloudy and 77 degrees. I'm Lane Ingram, live local news every half hour, 24 hours a day on Austin's news leader, News Radio 590, KLBJ.
George Norrie, call the Wild Card line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George Norrie toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling the AT&T International Operator and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And how would you like to be the first one on your block to talk to an investigative mythologist? Yep, you can do that on Coast to Coast. Back in a moment with my guest, William Henry. Over the weekend, I needed to use a flashlight in my car. For some reason, the dome light didn't work. It was nighttime, and I'm driving around L.A., lost, and I'm trying to read some Yahoo Maps, and I couldn't. But then it dawned on me that old George, a long time ago, put a CC Trek light in his car glove compartment. And so I reached, and there it was. And you know what? It's been in there for 2 years. It's been on only one other time, and it went on like clockwork. I had light, and I could see exactly what I needed and got to wherever I was going, wherever that might have been. So when you think about it, flashlights are pretty darn amazing things, aren't they? Portable light lets you see in the dark. But, you know, with all these technological advances over the years, how come some of the flashlights that you use don't work, huh? Well, you don't have to worry about that with the Sea Crane Company. The white LED flashlights, they work. They use so little power, the batteries last 20 times longer than regular flashlights. The LED bulbs will never burn out. They are waterproof, shockproof. Their cool white light helps you really see in the dark. And they're made in the USA to the highest quality standards. In other words, these flashlights did not let me down, and they won't let you down. And right now, the Sea Crane Company has got a great deal on the CC Trek light. Regular price is $29.95. But if you buy four, you get number five absolutely free. And these things go like hotcakes, so take advantage of this. And when you see how well these flashlights work, give one to a relative or definitely put one in the glove compartment of your car. I don't know why they call that a glove compartment, because I've never put gloves in there. But, hey, put it right where it's supposed to there. The Sea Crane Company, call 1-800-522-8863. The number again for the white LED flashlights or that free Sea Crane catalog, 800-522-8863, or go to the web at ccradio.com.
Tear Mender, more than just a glue. It's like a tailor in a bottle. Tear Mender is the time-proven adhesive for fabrics, both natural and synthetic, and for leather, like that in shoes, boots, and sporting goods. Sure, it's natural. Sure, it's non-toxic. Even more sure, it works. Tear Mender liquid is easily applied using your finger and quickly dries to a permanent and washable bond. Dropped hem? With Tear Mender, it's fixed before you thread a needle. Damaged work clothes are Tear Mender repaired instantly. Snags and sweaters disappear with a Tear Mender application. No sewing, no iron patch, no mess. Tear Mender even re-tacks loose or hanging wallpaper. Tear Mender is amazing. Wearable in 3 minutes, washable in 15. Tear Mender saves time, saves money, solves problems. Purchase your Tear Mender at Kmart, Tractor Supply, participating Ace, Do It Best, Hardware Hank, Farm Stores, and now at Walgreens. Tear Mender. To try it is to know it works.
Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, William Henry, my guest. Hey, William, before we go to the calls, did you do any work or have you ever done any work into the reptilian race? I have David Icke was on last week. We talked a little bit about that, and I'm just wondering if you ever crossed into that arena.
I have extensively. In fact, on my website, I have an article posted called Stargates, Wormholes, and the Bearded Gods of All Major Religions. And I ask the question, why is it that the savior gods of every world religion, including Buddha, Jesus, Quetzalcoatl, Ea, or Enki of the Sumerian tradition, are depicted as bearded men whose bodies are that of a serpent? Now, is this because they're reptilian? I mean, Isis walked around wearing the horns of a cow. That didn't mean she was half human, half cow. Or that she was somehow bovine.
And the Egyptian gods, like Ra and all them, they all look reptilian, don't they?
Well, not necessarily. But my point is that when we see Yahweh, the god of the Hebrews, portrayed as a human serpent combination, or any of these others, and I've got half a dozen shown in this article. I'm asking the question, is it possible that these are not beings who are half human, half serpent, but rather they're representative of the wormholes?
Now, tell me about that. What do you mean, the wormhole? You mean they? You think they came through it?
Yes.
From other lands?
If they're not actually the wormhole themselves.
What do you mean by the wormhole themselves? I could see them coming through a stargate or wormhole from another planet.
Right. So let's suppose that either the beings that emerge from those wormholes, like in the Mayan case, they call him the god Nine Winds or god of Nine Winds. And he's the figure that's going to step out of the serpent rope or wormhole in 2012 and deliver this enlightenment teaching. What if that isn't an individual? What if it's actually the wormhole itself? And we've been taught to believe that Quetzalcoatl, who may also be this god of nine winds, is portrayed as a bearded person. What if he's not actually a bipedal human being? What if he's actually the wormhole himself? I mean, that's a little far out sounding. It's safer to say that likely Buddha, Jesus, Quetzalcoatl, Ea, all these figures are shown as half human, half serpent because they deliver the teachings about the wormhole.
I'll tell you, anything's possible. And when you think about the possibilities that all of these things could be stories, but then when you look at all these various civilizations all honing in on some of the same things.
Right.
And I've always been a believer there are no coincidences.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, critics will say, well, Jesus was never a serpent. Well, they called him Messiah. The Hebrew word for Messiah is adder, according to Strong's Concordance to the Bible. If you go over to Ireland, you find out the word adder means serpent.
Well, we do know the opposite of a Christ was the serpent. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a tie in there. Let's go to the calls. Wild card line, welcome to Coast. You're with William Henry. Hi.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Yes.
George, I too do not like clowns.
Good.
But
good
I like
for you.
You.
There's many of us.
I know. I'm glad to find that out. I thought I was the only one until I heard you say that, and now I've heard a lot of people
say. Oh, yeah.
William, you sent me on quite a journey through the library. The last time you were on this show, you tied a whole lot of interests of mine together, and boy, have they blossomed.
Well, that's wonderful.
It's been very interesting. One of the things that did dug up is a long line of Freemasons in my family, and I've always been extremely curious about it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what I really want to ask you about is this really caught my attention when I read Holy Blood, Holy Grail, about a passage from the parchments that the priest had found at Rennes Le Chateau that said something about noon blue apples.
Right.
And then you're saying something about these blue illumination stones, and something intrigued me about him saying that he went on long walks picking up rocks.
Right. I believe the blue apples of Rennes Le Chateau lore are the same as the blue stones. And that when this priest is out picking up these stones, he may well have been picking up the stones of illumination.
Now, where did these come from, and why are they spread all around?
I believe they likely, well, the original source, I believe, is the center of our Milky Way galaxy. And that these, they come to Earth in the form of neutrinos and other energy, cosmic rays, get imbued in the soil. Perhaps they washed down from the Pyrenees. and ended up there in Rennes-le-Château. But ultimately, I feel it's our interaction with the galactic center that explains the source of these blue stones that cause ill or illumination.
And when is it that you're going there?
We are leaving a week. Well, we're leaving Monday. But there's still room. People can still come along if they want to.
Better bring a passport.
That's right. Come on along. We need you. We want you.
This has been some of the most fascinating stuff I've ever encountered in my life, and it's pulling so many interesting things together. Like you were talking about language and following language and everything, and I've always been a reader of the dictionary, believe it or not.
Right.
And the words are fascinating. And
they are. They encode the whole history of the human race. That's what Thomas Jefferson said. He said he'd get rid of all 6,800 books that are now comprised the basis of the Library of Congress and save just one book, the English Dictionary.
I love it. Thanks, Jackie.
Okay, thanks.
Well, you really need to be a reader in order to grasp some of these concepts, don't you? You can't be someone, there are some people who just scan the internet for their information. There are other people who just want to watch TV or do quick listening to radio. To grasp some of the things we've talked about tonight, you need to study and you need to read, don't you?
You do. You have to reach a kind of a critical mass of knowledge. You have to approach it again with an open heart and an open mind, because so much of what we're talking about when we're reading were actually what the ancients, what they called riddens, which is solving riddles. Because everything that we're talking about tonight is
presented. They are riddles, all of it.
In riddle form, and also in rhyme and song and poetry. This is just how they did it. Because the reason is because to the subconscious mind, it's discordant. It catches our attention. It's sort of like the fish hook that catches the fish. It flashes on us, and next thing we know, it has this tremendous allure to us. And we're lured into this web of relationships, and pretty soon we realize we're not the fish. We're the fisherman. We're looking for these secrets. We're bringing them into ourselves, and we're becoming the mystery, because we are the mystery.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi.
Hi, George. This is Noah calling from Valley Village.
Hi, Noah.
Hi. I have a quick question for your guest, William.
Sure.
Hi. Nice to talk to you.
Hi.
We were just learning about Cathars in school, and we were learning about Cathars' last stand against the Crusade up in that mountain fortress in the south of France. And they were outnumbered, and they said they'd give up in 48 hours. And in that time, it's believed that they smuggled out something. A lot of people say it's the Holy Grail. And some people interpret the Holy Grail to be Mary Magdalene. Do you have any thoughts on that, or
Coach, I'll let you listen on the radio, too, Noah, okay?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that legend at the last stand of the Cathars at Montségur. The Pope's army had them cornered there. And what was interesting is that along the way, the Pope's army started noticing that no matter what torture they inflicted on the Cathars, they didn't show pain, they didn't reveal their secrets. And members of the Pope's army actually started converting to Catharism and fought alongside the Cathars at the last stand there at Montségur. And as the legend says, several of them escaped with certain scrolls. It couldn't have been Mary Magdalene, because the time period just doesn't fit. We're talking about the year 1244.
Right,
here.
Right. You're talking about the 1,200 years or so.
It could have been a genealogy, as some people believe.
Uh-huh.
It could have been the Book of Love. That was talked about in the Languedoc region, this book of immense power that can completely change the human heart. So it's likely that it was something portable like that. It was then taken to the caves of Sabarthas in the Languedoc. And, of course, then the story gets picked up in the early 30s when Adolf Hitler sends his mythologist Otto Rahn into the Languedoc in search of these secrets. And it's widely believed that he found these secrets within the crystal halls of the Sabarthas. And he died under mysterious circumstances shortly after reporting what he had found to the Nazis. They likely murdered him.
Oh, man.
So there's, you know, lots of historical references to this, that this is real. And again, you know, we think of Adolf Hitler as this sort of comical dictator tyrant who is nuts, but he was. But there was another side of him that very well understood.
Oh, he was geniusly insane.
Exactly.
And there's no question about it. And they, you know, and if I would go back in the time, I think I'd still take him out just to rid the world of the guy. But I mean, for every insanity, I mean, there is a fine line between genius and insanity too.
Without question.
Yeah. Wild card line. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. This is Jean-Paul in Golden, Colorado.
Well, welcome, Jean-Paul.
Thanks for the wonderful job you've been doing since taking over the show.
My pleasure. Go ahead.
I really appreciate having David Icke on last week, too. That was great for the audience. Hello, William.
Hi. How's it going, Jean-Paul?
Good. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Good. That what you're mentioning on the last part of the, I guess, last hour was about the bridge. And I was wondering if that bridge that was... perhaps being referred to as the heart and the heart energies that emanate.
Without question. That's we're now discovering when you read the works of Paul Pearsall, when you read the works of Joseph Chilton Pierce and others, they've been on Coast recently too, talking about the tremendous power and intelligence that the heart has. It's even more powerful than the brain.
Right. I'm very familiar with Greg Braden's research on that.
Greg Braden also. I mean, imagine when this kind of information goes mainstream, which is what they're trying to make happen right now. We're talking about the complete revitalization and, in fact, possibly even the healing of our civilization, because if the heart and the head are not united, this is when illness occurs.
Oh, absolutely. And certainly a challenge to get the two united.
Yes.
Considering where we've come from, like our past and everything, but that's part of, I guess, what's going on in my lifetime and many other lifetimes for other people in the planet right now.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's what's neat about the effort of individuals such as yourselves, is that we're all feeding this collective energy, and if enough of us get together on this and decide we want to build this bridge of light, we'll do it, and we will completely change our civilization. We'll be less dependent on terror as the motivating force in our civilization, and actually moving into Tara, which is enlightenment and compassion, a wordplay or a pun on terror.
Do you find, William, that we are going through, as a world, a very different time right now?
We're going through a collective initiation right now, without question. And we are in the portal, and the light is coming on or about 2012. And what we're doing is we're going through this greatest point of fear for our civilization. And it, again, as Dr. Kaku and others have talked about, this is the moment when we decide, are we going to inherit the wind, become space dust, or are we going to inherit the stars and become space beings?
West of the Rockies, your turn. You're on with William Henry. Hi.
How you doing, George?
Good.
This is Mike from Fontana.
Sure, Mike. Good to see you. Good to talk to you. I can't see you.
I know. How you doing, William?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Pouring rain here now, by the way.
I told you it was coming.
Yeah.
I'm from Chicago, so I know. First of all, I'm an aspiring writer, and I don't have any credentials or degrees, but considering that I have an illumination of knowledge... I'm just wondering about ancient texts, how it refers, how they interpret sin. How is sin interpreted in the ancient texts and myths?
Sin. Okay. Listen on the radio. Sin, William Henry.
Well, of course, you know, the word actually means miss the mark. It means ignorance. Sin was once the name for our moon. And so the Babylonians said, hey, we were made from genetic material that came from sin. And by that, they didn't mean something awful or dirty, as the common connotation of the word means today.
S-I-N?
S-I-N. They called the moon sin, and so what sin meant, referred to originally, was genetic material imported from the moon. So here's your Baptist preacher on Sunday saying, you were born in sin. You're made of sin, you ugly, filthy creature. But now you can go back to him and say, but you know what that originally meant? It meant I was made from genetic material
moon
imported
dust.
From the moon. Try that one on him.
Moon dust, huh?
Moon dust.
Sounds like an old Twilight Zone movie.
Right.
Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, sir.
George, this is Dave calling from San Jose, listening on KSFO.
Sure.
And congratulations about your ratings. Great news.
Thank you. Thank you.
William, I have a question. God, many, but particularly, you mentioned the serpent rope coming down. Then you also mentioned the human spine and how you'll, these things may be interconnected. There is in Indian literature a term called Kundalini. I was wondering if you're familiar with that, because that also says that within our spine is the serpent coiled, and you've mentioned serpent many times tonight.
Yes.
And have you, in your research, seen lately an activation or a spontaneous activation of this Kundalini energy? And is this Kundalini energy, in fact, what the alchemists and what the myths and the secret of secrets are really all about, and the Holy Grail? Is this what you're getting at?
Yes, it's all part of the equation right here.
Uh-huh.
When I look at myth and scripture, we know you can interpret it on many levels, the historical, the literal, the metaphorical. You can also interpret myth and scripture on the anatomical level, too. What is written about in myth and scripture also takes place inside the human body. That's the real value of studying it, because you learn about yourself and how to activate the coiled energy that's within us.
Have you seen this in your research, in your own personal life, and maybe with your, obviously, the people that you surround yourself with? Have you seen this phenomenon happening more and more lately?
I get the question all the time. I've only experienced it one time in my life. I was traveling one time, and I met a woman, and this is a really weird story, but I'll tell it anyway. I don't know why I'm telling you.
Uh-huh, here we go.
She said, you know, I've got a connection to the stars, and if you make love with me, I can bump you up the evolutionary ladder. And I said, well, I'm committed to somebody. She wouldn't really much care for me for doing that. She reached out and touched me, and that Kundalini energy came uncoiled and went right up my spine. And it was, and from that moment, I believed what she said, that she actually had that power. So I know what it feels like to get that energy moving within you.
William, you dog you.
Right.
So you are seeing this as is probably almost all of your research and all your writings to me seems to focus on this. So you are seeing this now.
Oh, absolutely. And as I say, the whole focus of my research is to bring it back into the body, bring it back into our personal experience. How do we kickstart this resurrection machine that we call our human body? It is a flower or a flower of this healing energy. How do we get our bodies to blossom is another way of saying how you get the Kundalini to come uncoiled and rise up the spinal cord system.
Stay with us. William Henry, my guest. I'm George Norrie, back in seconds on Coast to Coast AM.
I'm at my wit's end. You say your love is on fire, but that don't coincide. Well, the things that you do, and when I ask you to the night, you say you gotta be cruel to be kind.
Mornings with Mark, Ed, and Sergeant Sam.
Are the schools enforcing the dress codes? What are the kids wearing? Flip-flops, belly shirts, low-rise jeans, hip huggers, navel rings, tube tops?
No. Well, you left one out. The Monica Lewinsky look with the exposed top of a thong.
The Morning Show.
Is that
Say
right?
That again.
The exposed thong.
Oh, hell yes.
Weekdays 5 to 9.
That Monica Lewinsky made so popular in the White House.
On News Radio 590.
Does that go along with the low-rise?
Oh, yeah.
KLBJ.
News Radio 590 KLBJ. I'm Lane Ingram. It's 3:30 and topping Austin's news this hour. An odor study at three northeast Travis County landfills could be underway soon. News Radio 590 KLBJ's Rick Yonacek reports Travis County commissioners will get an update on the study today.
A working group of neighbors, businesses, and experts are just about set to begin phase one of the three-part plan. John Cool with the county's Natural Resources Department says they are still trying to hire a consultant to oversee the study.
We wanted to make sure that in the first phase we had a contractor that would be
the best qualified for all three potential phases. And this approach should let us hire that person right off the bat and not have to worry about them being disqualified from further phases.
Cool adds a consultant should be hired in about 2 weeks, and the working group could start meeting by next month. Reporting from the Travis County Courthouse, Rick Yonacek, News Radio 590 KLBJ.
Today's forecast contains scattered thunderstorms with a high of 88 degrees. Currently in Austin, it's cloudy and 77. I'm Lane Ingram. When news breaks, we break in on Austin's news leader, News Radio 590 KLBJ.
Is your interest in gardening beyond pure aesthetics and landscaping? Are you intrigued by plants that promote health or their medicinal purposes? Well, now you can satisfy your curiosity at one nursery in Northeast Austin called Gardens of the Ancients. Gardens of the Ancients combines a large selection of dried herbs, fresh herbs, even locally grown herb plants with educational books on holistic medicine and traditional practices of ancient cultures. Gardens of the Ancients is surrounded by a quiet atmosphere, huge herb gardens, and friendly folks who can answer all your questions regarding how to take care of your herb plants and how your plants will help take care of you too. Gardens of the Ancients is located in Northeast Austin near Samsung on Palmer Lane. It's tricky to find, so call ahead for directions or visit their website at gardensoftheancients.com. Gardens of the Ancients, 272-9062. That's 272-9062. 62.
Put your seatbelt on, strap yourself in, buckle up tight when you go for a spin. No matter where you drive, if it's near or far, buckle up all the riders in your car. 'Cause it's the law, and if you're in violation, an officer will be right there to give you a citation. Yes, they're stepping up enforcement, sending out more police.
Walk again. Even worse, Dale's company balked at covering his medical costs, even though he'd been a great employee for years. Dale was able to walk with his wife and run with his kids yesterday because something happened. That something was Scott Ogle, attorney at law. He saw to it that Dale received his medical care, and today his legs and his life are complete again. Scott Ogle, 442-8833, 442-8833.
It's shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, but meantime, sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double ball time. When you hear the music ring, well, I step inside, but you don't see too many faces. Coming in out of the rain, and hear the jazz go down. Competition in other places, but the horns, they blowing that sound. Way on down south, way on down south, London town.
To talk with George Norrie, call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George Norrie toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free 1-800-618-8255. International callers may call George Norrie by reaching the AT&T International Operator and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From somewhere out there, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, my guest on our next Coast to Coast program will be none other than Bud Hopkins, one of the fathers of alien abduction cases. He'll be bringing along an abductee named Frank Elm, a resident of upstate New York, with an incredible story. You don't want to miss that on our next Coast to Coast AM. Super Prostate Formula, it's for the more than 30 million men who suffer from an enlarged prostate. If you are one of them, you may not even know it, but you may have these frequent trips to the bathroom, urgency, hesitancy. You might even have a diminished sex drive. Super Prostate Formula is for you. Designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Teplisky, Super Prostate Formula combines all these natural nutrients that support the health of your prostate so that you can reclaim control of your life again. Why don't you join the legions of listeners who have had incredible results because it works. When you order two bottles of Dr. Teplisky's Super Prostate Formula, you get two bottles of a Super Libido Formula, which is a natural alternative to Viagra to support your sexual vitality. You also get a groundbreaking book, The Complete Guide to Prostate Health. You get a newsletter, $100 value, free as a gift, guaranteed to work, or you get your money back. So if you're not completely satisfied, why don't you return it for a full refund? Keep the two bottles of the Super Libido, the book, the newsletter, free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call this number, 1-800-603-7277. 1-800-603-7277. Super Prostate Formula, 1-800-603-7277. Ultimate Slim, 60-some pounds. Will lost on Ultimate Slim. He simply melted away excess body fat. Howard Morton in St. Louis, producer, 18 pounds, melted away excess body fat, trimming unwanted inches, and they did not do a lot of strict dieting or strenuous exercise. And all this is possible with Ultimate Slim, an all-natural, scientifically designed formula. It'll metabolize your fat into energy, and you have to do that. Without the energy, what good is it? Ultimate Slim blocks carbohydrates, fat absorption, reducing sugar cravings. You lose water weight, and within minutes, you reduce everything in your body, and you start feeling good. No nervous side effects. You're not jittery anymore. In weeks, you start losing inches. Your waist will be thinner, and you can see it in a mirror. Ultimate Slim. You get two bottles, they'll give you two more absolutely free. That's 50% off. And you'll also get the healthy eating guide and a cookbook, $20 value right there. Again, that is free. So call this number for Ultimate Slim, 1-800-557-4627. Not available in stores. Ultimate Slim is guaranteed to work for you, or you get your money back. 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627. Well, William, if you had an opportunity to go through a Stargate, not knowing what the other end was like, would you go?
Oh, sure.
In a heartbeat?
Oh, yeah.
Wonder what it would take you to. How would we know where it takes us?
Well, I like the idea portrayed in Contact. Again, I think Carl Sagan probably had very good reasons for showing that this transportation system has always existed. It's been there since anybody can remember. And that it leads to the center of the Milky Way galaxy, which appears to be, well, it's a place where our souls came from, according to the shamanic tradition. There's hundreds of millions of light beings that inhabit this place, according to mystics. It's also a kind of a intermediate point from our galaxy to any of the other hundreds of billions of galaxies that are out there.
Were you always a believer in extraterrestrial life?
No.
You were not?
No.
That surprises me.
Well, I mean, it's only been within the past, say, 15 years or so that I really had any awareness of it. So, but once I got into it, yeah, I was very intrigued by it. And
now you're a believer.
Now I'm a believer.
Big time. Let's go to some calls. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with William Henry. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Welcome.
This is Daniel from Statesboro, Georgia.
Sure thing. And you drive carefully.
How you doing today?
Good.
I have a quick question for William.
Sure thing.
Like shaman and medicine men and holy men, they do their incantations, their chants, and words they keep repeating over and over, and they have tones, and they say that is to lift the veil that we're all born with that prevents us from seeing the other side and becoming illuminated. Could you not record all those different, as many as you could, and also the residents of this church you're visiting to find that common tone which lifts the veil?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, that's a fantastic idea. I mean, what a great experiment that would be.
In other words, if you went to different tribes or, you know, and shamans and asked them to do their chants, and then record it and use like a voice analyzer and also the residents of this church that you're going to visit and find that common tone, which lifts that veil that we're all born with, that allows us to see the other side.
Very interesting approach. I like that idea very much.
Well, I just want to throw it past you. I mean, I really get to talk to you. I love your idea, the tone. See, I'm a numerologist. I study words and names and numbers
Great.
That go with it. And so I was thinking about this idea the last time you were on. I was hoping I'd get a chance for you to. I'd really like you to try that one time, is to record the different sounds they chant, because I know they keep going over that tone. And that's
right.
what they say. The shaman will say the reason is we're born with that veil that blocks us from seeing the other side, becoming illuminated.
Right.
And they repeat the chants over and over until it lifts that veil, and they're able to see into the past, the present, and the future.
Interesting theory.
Yeah, it works. Theoretically, it would work because they tell us that the universe is a tone. It's a living frequency or vibration. And so by creating these pockets or holes in space in that way, you would, in a way, create the wormhole through the tone that's emitted from your mouth, which, again, radiates out like a smoke ring. This is why they call Jesus the Lord of the Ring. It's not because he wears a piece of jewelry. Solomon was known for his ring,
mm-hmm,
too. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
a piece of jewelry. It was a tone or a frequency that was emitted from and known to these figures. A
couple of people are emailing me. They want to know the name of that chapel again that you were talking about in France.
Rennes-le-Château, the Church of Mary Magdalene.
Very good. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air with William Henry. Hi.
Hi, this is Kathleen calling from Michigan.
Sure thing, Kathleen. Go.
Hi, George, uh-huh. William. Good morning.
Yes.
It already rained here. William, I had emailed you a couple months ago. My husband and I visited the Hill of Tara last summer.
Wonderful.
And
sent me the pictures.
Yeah, I kept trying to send you more. I think I tried to send too many files at once. That's a big mistake. But basically, one was a little tourist map you get of Tara when you're there. And, there was a picture of my husband and I at the Guinness Brewery. That was my pilgrimage. But I visited family there in County Meath. And if I could, can I re-relate the story about the fairy ring I saw?
Yeah, go ahead.
My cousin was taking my husband and I around towards the old family homestead where my great-grandparents lived, around Clondugan, Summerhill. And, driving on the left, he's a cabbie in Dublin, by the way, so that was an interesting car ride being with him. We went pretty fast. But he looked over to our left, and he said, "Now, you see that? That's a fairy ring, and you don't go in there." And I looked, and to my amazement, there was this, I'm from Michigan, and as you gentlemen, I'm thinking of this little teeny ring in the grass that we call a fairy ring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was a mound. This was about 9 feet tall and about 20 feet across, and it had trees evenly spaced all around. It looked like a crown, and it had a beautiful canopy on top of it. And I was just amazed. I looked at it. And coming back, when my husband and I were by ourselves driving back, he said, let's get a picture of that fairy ring. And I thought, well, we can't go find it. We get lost. And then I made a joke. I said, if we did go there, maybe the fairies would get mad. And I said, well, maybe not. They would recognize me. They would know my kin. But, getting to the point, with the Hill of Tara, are these like underground? Are there connections to these mounds? Because I know you've spoken of the fairies and how they were, belittled.
Right.
Fair ones.
Yeah, they are subterranean. And, in fact, that's a nice segue here. We're taking a trip to the Hill of Tara in Ireland with Lawrence Gardner. We're going to meet him in England and go up to Scotland to Roslyn Chapel. And that's going to be happening in July. And, of course, everyone's invited to join us on that, too. They can go to my website and look at the Arc Cabal newsletter for more information on that. And can I also mention, George, a couple other events that I'm...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Of course.
After France, in June 25th through the 27th, I'll be at the Seattle Northwest Paranormal UFO Conference. And then in June, on the 14th, I'll be in Dallas, hosted by the Inner Sphere. You can go to innersphere.com. For information there. This is going to be a knocked-out presentation there. And then I'm in Denver, Colorado on the 26th through the 28th of June.
And then, of course, we take the Ireland trip to the Hill of Tara, where we're investigating more of the blue stones of Ea.
Busy schedule, William. When do you rest, my friend?
August.
Yeah, your idea of a vacation. Most people would think maybe there's a vacation, but you work when you go.
I work when I go, yeah, and then it starts off in September. I'll be at the Bay Area UFO Conference in the September 12th through the 14th. This is going to be great because John Anthony West is going to be there. David Icke is going to be there. It's going to be a great chance
what an assembly of people, huh?
Networking.
Yep, for sure. West of the Rockies, your turn. You're on the air with William Henry. Hi.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Hi, George. Richard here.
Sure, Richard.
From Nevada. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And, William, it's an honor to talk with you.
You too, sir. Thank you.
This has been a really interesting show because I studied martial arts for a long time from a master who was in a temple from 6 years old. And I don't know how much Buddhism you've added into this, but I see pieces of puzzles sitting together. In the East, it's known, pretty well known. I was a philosophy major at UCLA, that Plotinus brought Eastern religion and culture to the Greeks, and it transpired down through the Greeks. Now, my question has to do with, I studied meditation, and you'll never get the Chinese who really know martial arts to teach you this unless you really know them. There's 17 beginning levels and 35 advanced levels. And within those 35 advanced levels, which my friend got diabetes at the 17th level and then eventually he died, you reach a vibratory state, which seems to go along with what you're talking about with tones. My teacher, he could meditate, and he would levitate off the ground, and he would actually go to China and see his relatives and come back. He is still teaching today at probably close to 90 years old around the world. And I'm wondering, to kind of sum this up, if there is a puzzle here that needs to or could be put together. I sure wish I could go to that Paris trip with you and photo document the whole thing because
it sounds like
a lot of fun, but the Northridge earthquake has put me out of commission, so I can't do that. Do you see any, have you had any contact with the monks or people in China who have had the that kind of training? That's really very, very advanced meditation training that's taught to very few.
Right. I haven't had personal contact with them. I seek out their stories. The Chinese Secrets of Immortality are among the finest stories. If you can get a hold of that material, it's rare in English, but it's absolutely profound. And, again, there's a tremendous connection between Sumeria and China. And so it seems that while the Chinese have the secrets, that it really does go back to ancient Iraq. I had a co-researcher call the other day and telling me the story. He was reading about a Taoist monk who gathered his disciples around him and transformed himself into a being of light right before their very eyes and lit up the whole valley in which he lived. And so, I mean, these are the potentials that we're talking about here. And while it sounds far out to the individual, in daily moments, we do exemplify flashes of illumination or flashes of enlightenment. We do act out of total compassion from time to time. Not all the time, but there are flashes of it. We do remote view. We do do things that defy science on a daily basis. And the idea is that once we really get this rolling, we learn to become that and live that all the time.
Is there a region on this planet that is a little more enlightened than another, or is it pretty well the same?
Well, again, there's pockets of it, but I mean, you could point to Tibet, for example, but they've been persecuted. You could point to areas in Peru. You can point to other places, and virtually every place you point to, you're going to find that the people that espouse these teachings have been or are being presently persecuted.
Let's go next to East of the Rockies. Your turn. You're on the air with William Henry. Hi.
Hi, this is Lisa from Tampa, Florida.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi. I guess my question is,
and it might sound a little silly, but I always have a certain number in my head that just, you know, and the number corresponds with my daughter's birthday, my son's birthday, my birthday, but every time I think of this number, it comes up, I feel this overwhelming, you know.
What's the number?
2810.
2810. But that, you see that all the time?
Yeah, and I feel it too. I mean, both my daughters were born on the 10th, and my son was born on the 28th, and I was born on the 18th, and, you know, but I kind of make special occasions around those dates, and, like, I'm going to see Sylvia Brown and on the 21st, you know, it's part of the 2810 kind of thing, and it's kind of weird because my brother died on the 8th, but every time that number comes in my head or I think about it, it just gives me this overwhelming feeling, and I just didn't know if it had, you know, maybe some special meaning or...
Well, let's see, William, you're not a numerologist, but...
No, I'm not a numerologist. I haven't ever come across the number personally, but I do find value in paying attention to these patterned reoccurrences over time. I mean, they seem to point us in the direction of synchronicity, which is when things happen all at once, or it's almost as if you feel this unseen hand of God operating in your life, where suddenly 2810 could lead you to be at the right place at the right time, and shazam, something wonderful happens. And it brings a point of honest spiritual awakening to you, let's say. I mean, it doesn't have to be that dramatic. It can just be you have more of a mundane meaning, too. But I do think it's important to pay attention to these recurring names, recurring numbers, this sort of thing, because they're signposts along the way, and what they're leading us to is that point where we get it.
And you get it. Wild Card Line, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hey, my name is Clayton, and I'm calling from Texas, and I drive a truck.
Well, welcome along, Clayton. Good to have you on.
Yes, sir. I have two questions for Mr. Henry.
Okay.
And I have a comment that I'd like to make to you, please.
Okay.
My first question is, Mr. Henry, the stones that you're talking about, I know what you're saying is true, and I have been looking for these stones for the past 3 years. In fact, there is one, and it's here in our back door. I mean, you're going to Europe, but it's here, and it's a little blue skull. The grandfather's is such a sacred object that they carved it into a skull.
And it's there in Texas, Clayton?
No, sir, it's not in Texas.
Oh, okay.
No, sir, it's not in Texas. But I can tell you where it's at. And my second question for you is that this energy that you're talking about, I know how to use it, and I can prove to you that it's true, and it's real, and it's a physical energy. And I make trades to certain individuals that are chosen, and my work is known worldwide, but all I do is trade. I don't do it for profit because I'm not allowed to.
Mm.
But would you like to trade?
Certainly, if you'd like to. As I said, I'll be in Dallas on June 14th. If you're anywhere near Dallas on that time, I'd love to have you as my guest at the Inner Sphere Conference. So if you have Internet access, go to theinnersphere.com and look up the Dallas event. It's at the Sterling Plaza Hotel there in Dallas. It's going to be a great event.
Well, sir, my wands take me about 80 hours per wand. And... I mean, I would have to send it to you. I mean, I have to go before the council to have it approved, so to speak, because it's like a glove that's made to fit each individual.
All right. Well, do that. You know how to get a hold of William through his website. William, the clock is ticking. I've only got about a minute or so left, and I want you to kind of review for me your upcoming trip to France.
Okay. In search of Holy Grail pilgrimage, in search of the blue stones or blue tones that cause enlightenment. And on this pilgrimage, we're going to be visiting the cathedrals. We're going to be visiting Rennes-le-Château in southern France, and we'll be with Lawrence Gardner, fully exploring these mysteries and hopefully bringing home some new insight.
No French wine, though. That's the deal, right?
Okay.
Drink Italian wine. Take Californian wine with you, but no French wine.
Okay.
I tell you what, when you come back, why don't you make sure you get a hold of me, because I want to get an update from you and see if you have stumbled into what looking for.
Well, thank you so much. I'll be thinking about you and everybody while we're there, and I really appreciate you having me back on the program, George.
All right, say hi to Ivy West for me, would you?
I'll do it.
Okay, that's William Henry. What a great guy. You know, he devotes his life to mythology, and if you haven't had a chance to get up to his website, well, go ahead and do that. It's williamhenry.net. But anytime you're on Coast to Coast, Mr. Lone Hood makes it very easy for you. He links it right up. And while you're on that website, if you want to look at the Lawoogie, speaking French, that's under Hot Stories, see if you can figure out that little card trick. Have some fun with it, okay? For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lone Hood, the webmaster, Barbara Simpson, Art Bell, somewhere out there, I'm George Norrie. On Coast to Coast AM. Be safe, everyone.
Dale spent yesterday with his family at the lake. He threw the frisbee to his boys. He walked around the lake with his wife and watched the boats glide by. Nothing too remarkable, you might think. But if you had seen Dale 3 years ago, you might indeed think it was an amazing day. You see, Dale was a construction worker when a strap holding steel rods busted. Over 3 tons of steel came rolling down at Dale, crushing his ankle and breaking both legs. The prognosis was uncertain. Dale might never walk again. Even worse, Dale's company balked at covering his medical costs, even though he'd been a great employee for years. Dale was able to walk with his wife and run with his kids yesterday because something happened. That something was Scott Ogle, attorney at law. He saw to it that Dale received his medical care, and today his legs and his life are complete again. Scott Ogle, 442-8833, 442-8833.
Ready to change your life for the better? Fitness HQ, we sell the finest fitness equipment in the world at the guaranteed lowest prices. But that's not the main reason people shop here. Hi, this is Jeff Levitt, president of Fitness HQ. People shop here because we change their lives. When you start getting in shape, you look better, but maybe more importantly, you feel better. You have more energy, a better outlook on life. Fitness HQ works with pro athletes all over Texas, but the bread and butter of our business is people like you. Has it been years since you worked out? Great. We know exactly where you should start. Weekend warrior who's ready for the next level, we'll help take you there. At Fitness HQ, we'll educate you, motivate you, and help you grab your fitness dreams. Come see us.
Fitness HQ, with 9 stores, including La Frontera Shopping Center in Round Rock, catty corner from Krispy Kreme, on 183 between Golfsmith and Home Depot, and on 6th Street, west of Lamar, in the Public Storage Shopping Center.
Every 30 minutes, 24 hours a day, exclusively on Austin's news leader, News Radio 590, KLBJ. Now, here's Austin's top story.
Good morning, I'm Lane Ingram. The Texas House is considering a congressional redistricting plan, which has caused many people throughout the state to speak up, including our own city government. Details ahead on News Radio 590, KLBJ Austin. Check your watch, it's 4 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Dorothy McIntyre. Hundreds of family members and loved ones crowded under the pier of the Naval Station Bremerton in Washington State yesterday, welcoming back 560 sailors on the USS Camden, took part in the war with Iraq. Thousands of people also welcomed the USS Kittyhawk in Japan. And a lot of folks are expected to be in Everett, Washington this morning, when the USS Abraham Lincoln returns from the Iraq War.
The sailors on board the USS Abraham Lincoln enjoying a fine dinner last night. Steak was on the menu as they wrapped up their final day on board this ship. They've been here nearly 10 months, and later on this morning, they'll have a chance to reunite with family and friends. This morning, state dignitaries will be flying in helicopters out to the flight deck on on the Lincoln as we get ready for a huge homecoming. Over 15,000 people expected to be dockside in Everett as the Abraham Lincoln finally comes home. Brian Calvert, ABC News, aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln in the waters off Washington State.
Weather experts say Sunday's deadly tornadoes in the south and midwest were spawned when a swirling storm system drew warm, moist air up from the Gulf of Mexico, which then collided with the cool, dry air from the north.
It was the perfectly terrible combination of ingredients for a terrible, devastating tornado outbreak.
Greg Forbes of the Weather Channel, nearly 90 tornadoes were reported Sunday and early Monday. At least 37 people were killed. Many others were injured. Many homes and buildings were either damaged or destroyed. President Bush says the government will move quickly to help the storm-damaged areas. Saddam Hussein is said to have looted his own country's central bank just before the bombs started to fall in Iraq. The New York Times reports he ordered nearly $1 billion taken, that he sent his son on a pre-dawn mission to grab the cash. It reportedly took...